that obnoxious instrument.
It's Friday, you bastard.
Every Mother's Day, my mother calls me on the phone. She says my day is coming up and I don't want to stay at home. And then she says, I need something much more than a car guy. Listen up, cause this ain't very hard now. Call my restaurant and put us in the book now. It's Mother's Day and I don't want to cook now. My mama told me, better take me out for brunch, yeah. You better take me out,
no.
Take me out.
Okay, I'm reaching back here on a fax machine, so just don't get into a cold sweat, okay?
No, we can play that song while you look at that.
You want to play it now?
People see us everywhere. They think you really care.
No.
But myself, I can't deceive. I know it's only make-believe.
Are you sure?
Get off your duck.
Pessoa Muriano aqui.
My one and only prayer is that someday you'll care. My hopes, my dreams come true.
Oh.
My one and only you. No one will ever know how much I love you so. My only prayer will be someday you'll care for me, but it's only made.
Yeah, get off this instant.
All right.
You turn. My hopes, my dreams come true. My life I give for you.
Okay, that's enough.
My heart.
Well, no, we don't want to lose the audience. I mean, it's not our kind of music, but that's a great job. That's, and didn't I tell you, you were playing that this morning about 10 minutes ago, and I'm sitting here listening, and I said, that sounds like Duff. Right.
Wow.
That's our program director, Duff Lindsay, who obviously missed his calling in life. It's not too late now. He's not really that old. He's old, but not old like me. If I was him, man, plus that kind of music doesn't sell anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Conway Twitty was good in his day, but that was 50 years ago. 45, anyway. But, he's got a great voice. He's been doing the karaoke stuff, and we kept all wondering, what does that mean, karaoke? Well, he's a neurotic guy, because he's worked for Greg Reed, on and off for a long time. It's just like when we first came to the station. Remember I was talking the other day about Hank is different now, because I mellowed him out?
Yeah.
But when we first came there, Hank was like a raving lunatic, and he was just browbeating everybody, just cantankerous. I mean, more so than ever.
Cantankerous?
Hank tankerous.
Hey, stupid!
Yeah, he was Hank tankerous. Well, he's still a little on the tanky side. But at any rate, and then I kind of like brought him back to earth a little bit, bitched him out a little. And the same with Muff. Now, what was I just saying about Muff before I got off into Hank?
What a good singer he is.
No, I was saying about how neurotic he is. It's like a chicken and the egg thing. Was he neurotic first before he worked for Greg, or did Greg make him into the basket case that he is today? That's the obvious question, because he's got a great voice.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, that was Tommy engineered that thing, and it sounded pretty good, you know, the karaoke deal. But can you imagine, like, in a real recording studio?
Right.
Would like, I mean, they can make a singer out of just about anybody when you come right down to it.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard Duff sing live, and let me tell you.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I wasn't knocking him, I was just saying, but so with a little added accoutrement there in a real studio, mm-hmm. he could sound great. He's wasting his time, you know, mm-hmm. fiddling around under the radar at the QAM. By the way, Jim Sarney, you're an asshole. I'm not going to waste any time because Gildy took good care of you this morning. Let's see, women are all bitches, and what's the other thing we're supposed to say? And screw you. F you. We all want to be outrageous and rip women on QAM. You know, you're such an asshole. I guess if I was as ugly as you, Sarney, and I'm not. I'm ugly, but not even in your league. Man, if I looked in the mirror and saw that every day, I'd probably be leashing out too, you know, which he's doing in his stupid-ass column. And speaking of the Sun Sentinel and stupid people, Tom Jick is going to be on for Eddie K tonight, 10:30 tonight. Now, maybe you want to call Tom, ask him, A, why there's no article on the radio ratings again, as usual. since he is in town now. B, how come neither one of the newspapers, including the one that he works on, the Scum Sentinel, decided that it was a major story that Broward County Commission passed that resolution about the Patriot Act? All of these things, you know. And about how 99% of what he writes about is about network TV shows and nothing about the local scene, since I'm supposed to be out of touch sitting up here in SARS country, you know? God, what a... But they won't do it. I look at the letters to the editor in both newspapers this morning, and I went back a couple of days just to make sure, because this episode happened on Tuesday with that commission meeting. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday,
well,
I thought.
Whatever it was, I went back a couple of days to make sure I didn't miss anything. There wasn't one letter to the editor from anybody, or at least if there was, they didn't print it, either paper, about the Broward Commission and that resolution against the Patriot Act. Nothing. It's like it never happened. The Sun Sentinel puts that on air 11:59 at night on their website for 1 minute. And then they bury it, a little tiny paragraph in a story about Miriam Elephant. And that's it. It's a major news story. Every other place in the country where they've had a similar resolution passed, big front page story, it's all over their websites. Not in South Florida. Man, you talk about goose-stepping and pandering. What about it, Tommy? Hi, you bald-headed geek. I hope they call his ass tonight and rip him a major ass. And they won't, but if anybody deserves it, it's little Tommy Jicca. You're so off out of it. And he'd say, well, gee, I wrote that story defending Neil the other day. I don't need no defending. All he did was shine a spotlight that we let a word loose there on here. A big deal. Like that's like there's an issue about it. Is there any issue?
No.
Did anybody say anything about it?
No.
In addition to which, he writes a whole column and he's afraid, he's terrified because he's been so intimidated. He's scared to death to put Wacky Jackie's name in here for fear that he'll, you know, start up with him all over again. Which I can understand that, but nevertheless, why write the column in the first place if you don't want to put any names in there, Tom? You little pussy. He's been pussified, Jicka. That's his problem. Pussified. We have one more movie pool today since we've been movie intensive all week, but we'll get to it momentarily. It's going to take me about an hour and a half to get through yesterday's pool result. Before we do that, on the front page of the Herald, speaking of your local fish wrappers, U.S. drafts a resolution to take control of Iraqi oil. I just mentioned this in passing, okay? The Bush administration's... Oh, it's payday today, by the way, Clarence. I just mentioned that in passing, too, okay? So I sure hope there's something big and fat in my mailbox. The Bush administration circulated a draft resolution among key Security Council members yesterday calling for the elimination of more than a decade of international sanctions on Iraq and granting the United States broad control over the country's oil industry and revenues until a permanent Iraqi government is in place. How many years could that be?
About 30, man.
Yeah. I got to read that last part again. Granting the United States broad control over the country's oil industry and revenues until a permanent Iraqi government is in place, the resolution which was to be presented to the 50-nation body today, the Security Council, would shift control of Iraq's oil from the United Nations to the United States and its military allies, with an international advisory board having oversight responsibilities but little effective power. A transitional Iraqi government, which U.S. authorities have said they hope to establish within weeks, would be granted a consultative role. The proposed resolution would give the Bush administration far greater authority over Iraq's lucrative oil industry than U.S. officials have previously acknowledged. Please read that sentence again. The proposed resolution would give the Bush administration far greater authority over Iraq's lucrative oil industry than U.S. officials would have previously acknowledged. And I should just point out what I do with that article. Oh, we got that great story you faxed me about the toilets in France.
Such as they are.
But Newsmax.com, which is about as far to the right as you'll find any website in the universe, there I got an article in here ripping Bush. See, the right-wingers are getting pissed off with him, too. Didn't we have the thing on yesterday about the born-agains are pissed off because they're not coming down hard enough on the homos? Wasn't that on yesterday?
Right.
Well, today, and of course, then the story came out last night on the news that the NRA has been really foaming at the mouth because of the assault rifle bill. And they have a ban on the assault weapons. And so now they're just turning on him like a rat, because that's what if you're not way over to the right, if you're not 50 yards to the right of Attila the Hun, then you're not far enough to the right for these people. So I will get into that briefly about Bobby Graham's got evidence that Bush blew 9/11, but he ain't letting it out because of security reasons, we'll get into that. I just mentioned that in passing, too, okay? So it's not just commie pinko leftist liberals who are dismayed and disgusted with this administration, with these goose-stepping Nazis, but now from all sides he's getting it. To which I say, yeah! Anyway, nice job, Duff. He's damn good. Boy, can you imagine if he was as good as radio administration as he is at singing? We'd be number one half, you know? Wouldn't you think? Not that I'm picking on him because he's going on vacation next week, but I'm just picking on him because he's going on vacation.
He should go on American
strongly.
Idol.
We enthusiastically recommended that he watch Requiem for a Dream.
See.
Especially that part where they start popping all them pills, where she starts on the diet pills. Watch that very closely, Duff. I just mentioned that in passing. I say that as a friend. Just watch that and keep an open mind, okay? See where I'm coming from?
No, I get it.
I hope he does. So George wanted to get happiness, and they can't find a damn movie.
Three places. Three strikes.
Oh, man. That's depressing.
Yeah, that's unhappiness.
Can't find happiness. Of course, that's South Florida. It's a syndrome. Can't find no happiness in South Florida. And don't get any of these movies we've been talking about all week at Blockbuster,
yeah,
because
please.
You'll probably get a watered-down version, and probably like Bambi will be in the middle of the movie no matter what it is. Yeah, I heard that the version of The Godfather they sell at Blockbuster, instead of a horse's head, it's Bambi. Yeah, well, I mean, even though it's, you know, grotesque to think you chop Bambi's head off and put it in somebody's bed, but nevertheless, it's more cutesy than that horse head, you know. Wouldn't it lighten it up just a notch or two? Don't be going to Blockbuster, okay, because they censor your movies. Everything in America is censored now, you know what I'm saying?
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. We'll get to the results of yesterday's poll and those 600 movies on there that had the best or most shocking ending. It wasn't even close. Sixth Sense. I got to see that. Is there any way I can watch that? Do they have a thing on the DVD where you can, like, block out one actor or actress that you don't
want?
No,
no, that's not enough.
That would be great. Wouldn't that be dynamite?
No, or it would change it to somebody else.
I don't want to see Bruce Willis. He makes me physically ill. I have to go to the toilet and heave and puke and do all kind of things. There's something about him. In fact, of all the people in the movies, he's the last one I would watch a movie in is Bruce Willis. He just,
even worse than Richard Gere?
Yeah, oh, yeah, much worse than Richard Gere. Worse.
What a comment.
1,000 times worse. At least Richard's got an active...
Rectum!
12 minutes after 9 at 560 WQM. If you've been thinking about buying a new barbecue or any barbecue accessories, you have got to go to Barbecues Galore. Get yourself a head start on the barbecuing season with the perfect grill and accessories, all at the guaranteed lowest prices. Now through this Sunday, Mother's Day, May 11, buy any gas grill over $149 and get free assembly and free propane. That's right, free assembly and free propane. And don't forget Mother's Day this Sunday at Barbecues Galore's incredible gifts for Mom. Everything from a new grill to backyard accents that'll make it a nicer place for the family to spend time together. For all your barbecuing needs at the guaranteed lowest prices, you'll love shopping Barbecues Galore because they have everything you need for barbecuing at an unbeatable price. They're in Plantation on University Drive in a Fountain Shopping Center. Call 954-423-1400. And they're in Coral Springs at 7485 West Sample Road, corner Sample and Rock Island. Call 954-757-6668. And don't forget, free assembly and free propane gas on all gas grills over $149 this week only, right through Mother's Day this Sunday at Barbecues Galore.
Live and local, we're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Duff hates you.
Yeah. Come on. Hey, Mom. Hey, Ma.
Your time
is here.
So smile.
Okay. It is Mother's Day.
We bought a card.
A gift.
Some flowers.
Well, good. Now we're going to a buffet. Got brunch.
Less much.
You eat.
Too much.
Okay. Cause here's the dessert tray. Now, Ma.
Hush up.
We'll pay.
Today.
Okay. So you put your purse away.
How is Dallas how much in Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Heart of gold, but her hair is gray. To me, she looks just the same. Says, please, dear, let me pay.
Yeah.
She looks at me and smiles. Use my baby, yay. I told her I turned 37 yesterday, but you make me feel like I'm 8. So let us not deviate, let me fill your plate, and we're here to celebrate.
That's right.
Hey, Ma.
Your time
is here.
So smile.
Okay. It is Mother's Day.
We bought
a card.
A gift.
Some flowers.
Well, good. Now we're going to a buffet.
Got brunch.
Less much.
You eat.
Too much.
Okay. Here's the dessert tray.
917 to 560 WQM. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And boy, we sure got a lot of mothers in this audience.
Yes.
Make no mistake about that. Anyway, speaking of that, you know, that thing about Duff, I bet you we had people inside the building just shocked who've never heard him do the karaoke thing before.
Right. We all saw it at that party. Heard him.
But even so, I mean, hearing that on the air like that, like a real professional record. In fact, I bet you Duff's got a lot of hidden talents that the general public doesn't know about yet. Anyway, don't forget to join Joe Costello noon to 2 today at the Verizon Wireless store at 3333 North Federal Highway in Pompano. Stop by to get your free Marlin tickets for tonight's game. Could be a 7th consecutive loss, I should point out, against Colorado easily. And register to win tickets to an upcoming home game. Oh, well, what happened to the other good stuff?
I guess it all went.
About the tickets to the world, the All-Star game and the box. Well, I don't know. I'm just reading what it says on here. And, of course, Miguel made it up. So, you know, probably ain't going to be too good. Our hot couples contest is heating up. The deadline's next Thursday, May 15. And we're starting to get some interesting-looking people now. You notice?
Yeah, I noticed.
We really are.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I'd say, like, the last three couples in a row have been pretty damn... But, again, I don't want to, like, influence the outcome, which I won't. But I will say this. What was her name, Aaron's lady friend?
Amy?
Amy. Amy and Aaron from yesterday. So Beaner Boy emails me the pictures. And when he emailed me the pictures of Aaron, it says, I think he's better looking than she is. And I say that with a flawless, flawless in capital huge letters, a flawless record at heterosexuality, is what he said. You think he was protesting too much?
No, just right.
And then, of course, they're both models, and here's a bunch of pictures from Muscle Dreams magazine. And, of course, you can click on the pictures, naturally, and enlarge them. And there's that one. Well, I can't look at that during the show, okay? You know which picture I'm talking about?
No.
I mean, what is that? I mean, don't say the word, what you think it might be, but what is that in there, huh? That can't be what I'm thinking it is.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
I'm talking about
the one
where he's got
the banana.
The banana in his pants, where he's standing there with him with those shorts on. Well, are you looking at these pictures now?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. It's in the middle group there, the third one from
the
left.
I don't even know where you're looking.
Oh, okay. Well, forget about it. You don't need to be looking at him anyway. It's bad enough that Beaner Boy's starting to him. His image is getting ruined, too. Don't forget, log out to our website, neilrogers.com. You can email us a picture of yourselves. Any couples out there can be male and female, male and male, female and female, or whatever. A boy and his dog. Not just a joke. Don't get all bent out of shape. And you have till next Thursday, May 15, and then starting next Thursday, we'll put the pictures up on the web for a week, and people can vote, which is the hottest couple. And Thursday, May 22, the couple with the most votes wins. And the top prize is a 3-day, 2-night stay for two at the Royal Oasis Resort and Casino in the Bahamas with round-trip airfare on Lake Arrear. And the runner-up couple gets dinner for two at the prestigious Pizza Loft. Here's the results of yesterday's poll. What movie had the best or most shocking ending? The Sixth Sense, 225. Now, do you think it was really good enough that my distaste for Bruce Willis, I would overcome it by watching it?
No.
Oh. In fact, just because the movie had a great ending doesn't mean it was a great movie. I pointed that out.
Correct.
Okay.
It's fine. It's a good movie, but...
It's okay. It's...
Okay.
Yeah, but not great. Usual Suspects, 115, which was a strong second, but, I mean, 225 is almost double.
And a much better movie with a much better ending, but what do I know?
Oh. Planet of the Apes, 98. Shawshank Redemption, 80, which George was telling me this morning. Forget about it. American Beauty, 56. Fight Club, 43. 7, 41. 7 had 41 votes. That... Well, we put
there's
that
a
on
lot
a
of Kevin Spacey movies on this list. I just noticed up at the top.
What's in the box? Seriously, why don't they just redo? I mean, they can do that. They make different endings. Why don't they just reshoot that one scene or eliminate it or do something?
I'll get right on it.
In fact, they what's his name? Because Laurence Olivier has been dead for a long time. Wasn't Laurence Olivier in Spartacus with Tony Curtis, or who was it?
I think he was one of them.
Yeah, so they had to have Tony Hopkins. I saw this last night on some damn one of those E kind of channels. And because they had originally eliminated the homoerotic scene there in the original movie.
It's back, though, you'll be pleased to know.
I will not be pleased. I don't want to see Tony Curtis naked. But they put it. But the point being that they had they lost the dialogue, so they had to have Tony Curtis and Anthony Hopkins do the dialogue for that scene.
Dude,
anyway, 741, Easy Rider 31, No Way Out had 31, Arlington Road had 31, Chinatown 30, Primal Fear 28, Last American Virgin 27, Doctor Strange Love 25, Soylent Green 24, Carrie 23, The Others 22, Jacob's Ladder 20. A Boy and His Dog, 17, Deliverance, 16, The Game, 15, Angel Art, and Happiness, and Body Heat, and Witness for the Prosecution each had 14. The fact that Happiness only had 14 votes tells me that either, A, the audience has got taste in their tush, or B, nobody saw it.
Nobody saw it.
No. Well, they better. In fact, what they're doing is they're going, that's why George can't find a copy of it, because all over town he's going to all these damn stores and he can't find it, because there's a run on it. There's a run on Happiness in South Florida. The Hitcher and The World According to Garp, 13. Deer Hunter, 12. American History X had 9. Citizen Kane had 9. 7 votes apiece for Live and Die in L.A., Somewhere in Time and the Day of the Locust. 6 votes for the reincarnation of Peter Proud with, what was her name? Jennifer O'Neill.
There you go.
And Michael Sarrazin. Eraserhead and the Italian Job, 5. The original Dutch version of The Vanishing, along with Donnie Darko, Magnolia, Plunkett and McLean, and Pi each had 4. Pi, by the way, he puts the drill in his head at the end of the movie.
I see.
I don't know why I would, you know. It won't make any difference. He puts the drill right up to the side of his head, and bada-bing, and that's the end of the movie. But it's worth seeing. Identity and Frailty, 3. Frailty. Tomorrow, 2. The Scottsboro Boys, 1. And out of, almost 1,200 votes, Lifeguard had
the big.
Sorry about that, but it just didn't have no votes. So that's yesterday's pool. Here's today's pool. As we've been movie intensive all week, why change today, right?
Right.
We've got them all whipped up into a frenzy about films. What movie have you watched the most times? Now, I did put a first category on here. I've never watched any movie more than once. Do you think there's anybody in this audience who will vote for that?
No.
Well, yeah, they'll vote for it.
No, no, but I mean, honestly, vote for that. No?
No.
Well, how come I still got these pictures of Aaron on here?
Okay. I don't know.
Why the hell not? What movie have you watched the most times, other than Debbie Does Dallas? Never watched any movie more than once, and I just have a short list of 4 because obviously the audience will be just dying to, you know. And look, I mean, we don't, and this is one they can only put 1. Okay, there's no way you can give us a list of 5 on this, even though they'll probably
watch
try.
Them.
Well,
watch
here's
them.
Movies I watched a whole bunch of these. No, not how many movies have you watched several times, and not how many times did you watch
about
it?
About 30 minutes.
Well, that's great, but we don't have any way to like quantify that. Okay, that's not the point. Godfather 1, which would be mine, certainly. I mean, God, I can't even count the number of times that I've watched Godfather 1.
And a bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit.
A Cuckoo's Nest, Gone with the Wind, and A Clockwork Orange, which was George's. Which he said he's watched that.
About 30, man.
At least a year. Okay, before we get to anything else, this is great. Thanks whoever faxed this to us from the UK Independent today. Toilet Chic emerges from a hole in the ground. Although it might be Toilet Chick emerges from a hole in the ground, but I don't think so.
I knew her.
Yeah. She's the old Toilet Chick. Ask any tourist to describe a Paris cafe laboratory and prepare for a toe-curling account of the horrors of squatting over an impossibly small hole in the floor of a squalid, cupboard-sized cubicle. And here to think that I only thought that they did this in like 18th world countries.
I got into squatting.
The smell and fear of splashes, the lack of soap or towel, the timer light that leaves you in the darkness after a minute have left a mark of generations of visitors of France. The timer light. Well, they're frugal, don't you understand?
Oh, I had no
idea.
The
French are very frugal. Yeah, and about 10 seconds and the light goes off and you're in the dark and you hope that you don't go into the hole.
French people piss me off.
Yeah. But a handful of imaginative young designers decided to confront the issue using custom-built steel fittings and everything from cheeky peepholes to live goldfish. Some of Paris's oldest loos have been transformed into havens of wacky chic. See, it's the UK Independent, and of course, loo is their word for toilet. I want people to say, wow, when they walk into the toilet and talk about it for weeks afterwards, said Javier Denimore, who has bought 5 Paris cafes and spent a fortune jazzing up jaded washrooms. Paris toilets have a reputation for being disgusting when really they should be at least as clean as the kitchen. They're also the one place that's truly private, so there's scope to have some fun with them, too. I bet you there's plenty of people have fun on the toilets.
That's what I heard.
First-timers to the toilets in the trendy Etoile Manquante, Missing Star, cafe in the Bulber Quarter generally come out looking shocked. Shafts of light flood down from holes in the ceiling of dimly lit laboratories where everything from the walls to toilet bowls to sinks is crafted from steel. In a window between male and female cubicles, the view cut off by a lit-up screen showing an apartment block by night, a model train chugs by. The calm is broken by panic as you glimpse yourself on a television screen caught by a hidden camera beneath the mirror. Oh, no!
Nice.
I don't want to see myself sitting on the old loo, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
I will save that. Remember old Lou?
Yeah, Lou Dobbs.
How's he doing? Oh, Lou Dobbs. He went to that turlet and took a wild turn to the right. Never came out again. 27 past 9 at 560 WQM. Mother's Day is day after tomorrow. Time is running out, but there's still time to give Mom a gift that she'll be thrilled about. This year, pamper Mom with a pajamagram. Your mom, wife, or grandma will receive the softest pajamas along with free lavender bath tea and gift card, all delivered in a keepsake cat box. To send a Pajamagram, gift shop online at pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs and they'll help you choose the perfect pair. Saturday delivery is guaranteed, so mom will get her gift on time. They've got brands she knows and loves like Nick and Cora, Anora, whatever her name is, Crabtree and Evelyn, and Naturi, made from premium fabrics like Egyptian cotton and fine silk and sizes to fit any mom, from teeny and tiny to gigantic humongous. Plus, they've got gowns, robes, slippers, and great spa products, too. All the stuff women love. She'll absolutely love it, and it's a gift you know she's going to use, too. Pajamagram Company is a sister of the Vermont Teddy Bear Company, so you know that you can trust their quality and on-time delivery, too. Not too late. Do it now. This Mother's Day, pamper mom with a Pajamagram. Just visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs, but do it now. That's Pajamagram.com, and be sure and tell them that old Neil sent you by.
My life and local. This is Sports Radio 560, QAQAM.
Friday, you bastards.
Mother's love, things I'm calling, calling up my mom this Mother's Day. Seems without her I'd be nowhere. Once I broke her favorite vase, she yelled back when Dad divorced her, but she helped me pay my rent. Remember Mother's Day, Mother's Day. Walked in on me reading Playboy, a surprised look on her face. It was fate, let me say, let me say. Call her now. It was Mom's car that I told her from my drinking. Thank you, Mama. You failed. Call her now. The woman who breastfed me till I was 15. Maybe that's why I'm screwed up now.
Yes.
Get off this instant.
I'm getting frustrated about the fact we realize there's that much talent in this man, and he's like wasting his time being a flunky for Greg Reed, you know, just being like a paper pusher. Don't you think American Idol would be a perfect spot for Duff?
Right.
Huh?
Absolutely.
I'm serious. I think we ought to, like, sponsor his trip and send him to American Idol and, like, you know, make him into this gigantic career and get him out of there from under Greg's thumb.
Or Star Search, at the very least.
Star Search would be great.
Duff, get off this instant.
Yeah, get with it. Get with it. You're wasting all of that talent. Got that great commercial voice, you know? And here he is sitting there like being a quisling for a guy that just, you know, refuses to let anybody decide which hand to wipe their ass with. No wonder people get neurotic in that joint, huh? It is payday, by the way, Clarence. I sure hope that thing is in my private box. You know what I mean?
Your mailbox?
Keeping those out of my box. President wannabe Graham eyeing evidence that Bush blew 9/11. Now, this is written a little bit sarcastically because, of course, it is in Newsmax.com, which is a ultra, ultra right-wing website. But that isn't where I got it because I never checked that thing. It was on... I was on BuzzFlash, I believe. So that makes it even that much more amazing, the fact that this isn't from some commie pinko leftist website. President wannabe Graham on evidence that Bush blew 9/11. Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Bob Graham is reportedly sitting on damaging evidence that the Bush administration could have prevented the 9/11 attacks, but he hasn't released the information yet because it's classified. I think Bob Graham has a smoking pistol on the Bush administration, Congressional Quarterly's Craig Crawford told WABC Radio's John Batchelor and Paul Alexander late Tuesday. Crawford explained that Graham's mystery evidence has to do with their failures, especially intelligence failures, before 9/11. In recent weeks, Senator Graham, the senior Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, has charged repeatedly that Bush bungled the war on terrorism, but the ex-Florida governor has never publicly suggested that he thought the president had left America vulnerable to 9/11 attacks. Nevertheless, Crawford, who's been covering the Florida Democrats' presidential run, said that Graham obtained the Bush 9/11 evidence while serving as the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. The problem is that what Graham knows, and he knows some very damaging stuff about the Bush administration's failures before the 9/11 to prevent it, he can't talk about it because it's classified, he explained. Another reason for Graham's silence, Republicans would likely complain that he's abused his position on the Intelligence Committee by turning it into a tool for opposition research. Still, Graham has been publicly hinting at what he knows without going into detail. He quoted a recent speech in which the senator claimed, "I know firsthand as former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee how little this administration has done to provide real security at home while it's directed its attention away from the war on terror abroad." Crawford said that the presidential hopeful is trying to figure out a way to make the 9/11 evidence against Bush public without violating the secrecy rules on the Intelligence Committee.
How do you like that, huh? From Newsmax.com, no less, boys and girls.
Hmm.
Let's see. Rich and Delray Beach says they aren't the sexiest movies, but they're surely... And he's got two.
Yeah, told you.
And not only that, but this isn't even responsive to what I'm saying. This Rich and Delray. Get some help, Rich.
Ahoy!
Too many old yentas, I think, are affecting your brain. They aren't the sexiest movies, but they are surely the most watched. The Wizard of Oz and the Ten Commandments. Well, so what does that mean? We're not asking what he thinks are the most watched movies of all time. We're asking you. I don't give a crap who what other people are watching. Come on, Rich. Get a life, sweetheart. God. This happens every stinking day, okay? Let me ask you this. Paper or plastic?
Wood.
And are they really that spastic? Are they?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Wow. The very first fact that comes across the thing, across my puss, and he don't get it at all. What movie have you watched the most times? There we go. That's the question. It's as simple as saying what day of the week is it? Friday, okay?
Purple.
People Eater. Purple Haze.
Debbie Purple. Haze.
Purple Veins. Purple Pills. Oh, and what the hell, which one of the movies is it where they were sitting around watching Eminem? Was that in one of the movies I watched, or did I see that in something on TV? Was that in,
I don't know.
That in Bully?
Possibly.
No.
Don't know.
Where the hell was it?
It would be too old.
No. Bunch of punks sitting around watching Eminem. I guess it was some movie that I was seeing on television. What movie have you watched the most times? And here are the choices so far. Never watched any movie more than once. Godfather 1, which I'm positive is going to get a lot of votes, you know? I could be wrong about that. Maybe it's only me. But I think it's going to get a lot of votes.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Gone with the Wind, or A Clockwork Orange. That's our short list so far because we don't want to put a whole bunch of them on there. What movie have you watched? Not do you think the public has watched more than anything else. I mean, that's so far off base. It's just like you said, Purple. What movie you watched? Purple. The color purple. Purple. Here's a call from West Palm Beach. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I tried to call you the morning that Jerry Williams died. Couldn't get through. My brother had called me from Boston early in the morning to let me know. But I got a quick story. We used to go up to the studios at WMEX.
Right.
In next to Fenway Park. In, I guess it was 57, 58. And you could just come right in while Jerry was on the air and sit down. He had 10 or 12 chairs there.
Huh.
And, one night he was opening up his mail as part of his, nightly duties. And, there was a piece of used tissue paper in there. So he opened it up and he turned to the audience and he said, you know, in his baritone voice, he said, "This is what's out there." You know, never forgot it. In the meantime, Ronnie Frank used to be a regular when he weighed 300 pounds.
Right.
Chomping on a cigar all the time. You know, he'd bring up sandwiches and, he was a terrific guy. I can't believe it's the same person that's now, you know, been a congressman now for 20 years. And one final thing, I heard you talking about the movies and, you mentioned Memento and, you know, I've listened to you quite a bit now. And if you last 15 minutes into that movie, I'd be very surprised.
Really?
Total, complete nonsense. So I'll be interested to hear what you have to say.
Wish you had told me that before, because it was an expensive damn thing. It's a two-disc set there. It's like a special deluxe, I think, $45 or something.
Yeah, now if you went to the movies to see it, you'd be asleep in 9 minutes.
But, okay, thanks, pal.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Yeah, speaking of Jerry Williams, even though he did die several days ago, it would be real interesting since Mr. Jick is going to be on for Eddie K tonight after the baseball game till 2 in the morning. Maybe somebody will want to ask Tom how come he didn't write anything about Jerry Williams. There was an obit in the Sun Sentinel in the paper for which Tom works, but you'll recall, and I pointed out at the time, the obit at no place, way, shape, or form did it say anything about Jerry working in the South Florida market, being on WNWS for a year, being the program director of the radio station, and having gigantic ratings on that station, okay? Nothing. Zippity-doo-dah. Back in 1980. Okay, it's 23 years ago, but you know something? That's not a lifetime ago. 23 years ago. Tom, let's face it, you're out of touch with the local media. You just write a bunch of puff pieces that anybody could write, like press releases from the networks, you know, from CBS, from ABC, from Warner Brothers. That's caca is what that is, okay? Anybody can do that. He just writes a bunch of puff pieces about the shows that they wine and dine these guys to go out there and watch the previews and what do they call them?
Trailers.
Not the trailers. When they have the fall previews. That's what they call them. Very, very ashamed of you, Tom. It's just, I don't even, you know, Tom Jick, I don't even know who that is. It says, thank you for your enthusiastic review of Requiem for a Dream. For those of us who have suffered from the effects of addiction to prescription drugs, encouraged by doctors who saw us as wallets and not human beings, Ellen Burstyn's performance is an emotionally shattering experience. Here's some good news for your listeners. Suncoast Video is selling Requiem and Happiness for only $14.95 director's cut in a special promotion. Buy three DVDs and get one free. Most Suncoast stores are in malls. My store is in a Kroll Square Mall, says this faxer. Last night they still had a few Requiems left, but it sold out of Happiness DVDs. See, I've made a run on Happiness.
Bastard.
They told me another shipment's expected on Tuesday, and the promotion will last all during the month of May. So there you go, George.
All right.
What are these? Suncoast Video. Is there one anywhere?
I'll find one. I got the weekend.
And hurry up so I can make a copy.
You mean so you can watch?
I'll pretend we didn't hear that, okay? I thought I heard a voice in the back. I thought I heard a voice in the back, but it must have been just the wind blowing in somebody's...
Rectum.
Somebody blowing smoke. Somebody taking something up the nose. 9:41, 19 till 10 at 5:60. Here's something that you take in your puss. Oleomed. It's a great product, Oleomed soft gels, our pharmaceutical-grade olive oil with lots of other good stuff in them. Not just ordinary olive oil, but super concentrated, loaded with health benefits for you. Oleomed every day can help reduce the risk of heart disease and high cholesterol, plus there are 14 different Oleomed formulas for you to choose from, each one combining pharmaceutical-grade olive oil with vitamins, minerals, and herbals to support specific needs from your bones to your blood pressure to your immune system. Just pick out the formulas that are right for you. And now we've got three great new Oleomed formulas, one to help you sleep, one to help you control that weight, and CellQ10, which contains CoQ10 for your heart. Pick up some Oleomed today and start getting in the habit of popping it every day. It's good for you. Pick it up at Publix, Eckerd's, Walgreens, Whole Food Markets, Navarro's, and Sedano's, or order Oleomed online if you'd like at OleomedAmerica.com. For more information, call 1-866-OLEOMED. That's 1-866-653-6633. Pick up some Oleomed today, and for better health, if you want to start feeling better, pop it in your puss real soon.
My and Lowell, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
He's too young.
Just a question left. Is he really dead? No. He sure has a stump. I turned on the news, and what did I see? There was a man on Abu Dhabi TV. Could he be real? Much to our surprise. Or some bad Iraqi in a perfect disguise. I keep asking myself and wondering how he survived when we blew every building down. If it's not Saddam, we know where he'll be. Either living in Syria where he can be free.
Or in a thousand pieces under all that debris.
Just a question left. Is he really dead? Is Saddam dead? Is he really dead? Just a question left. Is he really dead? Is Saddam dead? Is he really dead? He sure has a stump. He sure has a stump.
It's a 9:46 at 5. You know, these faxes that we've gotten so far this morning, we're 2 for 2 so far. Just incredible. It says, hey, Neil. Oh, wait a minute. This is the wrong one. Here it is. I know you hate Monty Python, but The Meaning of Life was watched countless times by me. It's wafer thin. You ready for that?
Yeah, you hate Monty Python.
I hate Monty Python? That's where did that come from?
You were always ripping them. Never play any of those funny songs.
Right in this room,
I
got every Monty Python song that was made in history.
Why won't you ever play this?
I beg your pardon?
Why won't you ever play that?
What do you mean?
You never play that song. I put all these Monty Python bits in there. I bleep that. You never play it, ever.
Oh, God. What is wrong with these people? I mean, maybe they got the yellow pills today. This isn't yellow pill day. It's purple pill day, okay? You're popping the wrong pills. God. Meaning of Life. I watched that a whole bunch of times. In fact, every Monty Python movie that's ever been made, the Life of Brian.
Right.
At any rate. So am I putting it on there?
Yeah, sure.
Meaning of Life? I think I'm going to put The Life of Brian. Don't you think that's going to get more votes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm making a judgment there, but when they start out by, how come you hate Monty Python? I know you hate them. It's just... Here's one from Murph who says, invariably, every Christmas, whether I want to watch it or not, he watches It's a Wonderful Life. Well, we got, I'll tell you another one. It's a Wonderful Life, and speaking of Christmas, A Christmas Carol.
I'm writing down It's a Wonderful, Meaningless Life of Brian.
A Christmas Carol.
I don't even know how many times I've seen that one.
What?
A Christmas Carol.
Now, are we talking, which one are we talking about? The one with Alistair Sim?
Right.
That's become the definitive
right,
one.
Right, the one.
There are some older ones that are really very poorly done. He's the definitive Scrooge. Just like, it's like Sherlock Holmes, you know. There's only one Sherlock Holmes, and that's Basil Rathbone. And all these other ones are so lame, so weak. And I will not watch any of the other ones because he was the definitive Sherlock Holmes. And the other ones are just a ripoff. I won't have anything to do with them. There's only one Dr. Watson. It was Nigel Bruce or Gary Bruce. And the same with Dracula.
Right.
All these Dracula imitators? Not for me. I still can't find Ed Wood. Today, this weekend, I'm going to order the tapes, okay?
Okay.
Ed Wood and what's the other one? Bob Norton? Bob Davidson? Bob Mr. Murphy? What is it called? Bob?
I have no idea.
Bob Roberts.
Bob Roberts.
Beat you. Bob Roberts. Because both of those are coming out on DVD. Well, I don't know. I guess I could wait. Right? They're coming out in the middle of June. I can wait. It's not like an emergency, and I'd rather get them on DVD anyway because that'll have time. Times. I'm still thinking back to the why do I hate Monty Python. I'm trying to come up with an answer for that.
Because you're a bigot. You hate the Brits.
Oh. Here's Miami. Hello.
Hey, Neil. I got two wax and jaws to say one. The
Beetlejuice. No, you can't. Well, wait a minute. Why would you have two? How could you possibly have two?
I watch these movies one after another at least once a month.
Well, pick one.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice?
Yes, and The Mask by Jim Carrey.
Beetlejuice, okay. Beetlejuice. They're cantankerous is what they are, you know? They just can't go along with it, whatever it is, like a bunch of overgrown chillin. What one movie, what single movie, not which two, not which ten, not which...
About 30, man!
No, that ain't gonna cut it either. What movie have you watched the most times? I mean, there are many movies I've watched multiple times.
Right.
Like I mentioned, I watched The Fan again on TV with Lauren Bacall the other night. That was a good movie. I've seen that maybe 3-4 times. But how many movies can there be that you've watched zillions of times? How many of those could there possibly be?
About 30, man.
Like I said, I forgot what I just said about the people with too much time on their hands. I mean, Godfather 1, I have seen all three of them multiple times, but Godfather 1 especially, so many times, I couldn't even count the number
right.
of times.
100 or more, maybe.
Zillions. That would be my answer. How many times have you seen it? Zillions of times.
For justice, we must go to Don Corleone.
Exactly. Every line in that movie.
Right.
Every line,
Johnny Fontaine will never get that movie. I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish. Well, let me tell you something, my crunk Mick friend. I'm going to make so much trouble for you, you won't know what to
do. The walls come, a lawyer. I have not threatened. I know almost every big lawyer in New York. Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you?
Exactly. 9:53 at 5:60. We're having a good time. We understand what it's all about. The audience is having a little communications problem, probably because we're on AM.
Yeah, sure.
Let's start some rumors that we're going on FM. Well, don't you think it's time they got rid of that country crap on Kiss? That stuff is such garbage, you know? That stuff is so bogus.
Especially now that they're not playing the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, now that they stopped playing the Dixie Chicks, I think that we ought to move in there. In fact, what we'll do is, like, in the middle of all the shows, we'll play Dixie Chick record. One half hour we'll play the Dixie Chicks, the other half hour we'll play Duff.
If only they didn't suck.
Now, that's an interesting point, because I don't like country music generally. Although Shania Twain, of course, she's Canadian,
right.
Eh?
Yeah.
Shania's country, and she's great.
She's like crossover pop, though. She's very pop.
Cross-dresser?
Country. No.
She's Canadian. Special condemnation for those cowards who canceled their appearances here, including J-Lo. They moved to Winnipeg. J-Lo. You can blow it out your ass, J-Lo. And you know why she bought that big compound there with Ben Affleck?
No.
They're having two houses built. And they're not going to be staying in the same one. And that's what I'm thinking. Two huge houses built, and they're quite a distance apart on the old plantation in Georgia, wherever the hell.
One for her and one for Matt Damon.
And also Elton John and Billy Joel, they crapped out. Oh, we're afraid. We're afraid. Oh, God. There's nothing going on here, man. Everything is beautiful. Everything is loverly. What the hell's wrong with these goddamn people? Bunch of morons. Bunch of pussies. That's the problem. Too many cowards. Don't let me forget that column.
Oh, I won't.
Oh, and I'll tell you another column that I'm going to read today, another bedtime story. There's so many good ones. No Time to Get Squeamish by Nick Kristof. That's scary. That article, that column of his today in the Times, that is downright scary. Nauseating. This one scientist warning another in an email to his other AIDS researchers, he says, he's advising staff to speak in code. They're worried that their emails are being intercepted. I'll read this whole thing later, but he says, phone communication does not appear tapped at this time. Even so, I'm advising staff to speak in code unless an NIH staff member indicates you can speak freely. In short, assume you're living in Stalinist Russia when communicating with the United States government. You ready for that?
Yeah, I was ready for it.
Nation of Cowards by Sidney Hall Jr., I'm going to get to that. And Neocons Dance a Strauss Waltz. This is a really, in fact, there's several articles about this, but this was the best one. Is United States foreign policy being run by followers of an obscure German-Jewish political philosopher whose views were elitist, amoral, and hostile to the democratic government? Suddenly, political Washington is abuzz about Leo Strauss, who arrived in the U.S. in 1938 and taught at several major universities before his death in 1973. But I just mention these things in passing, okay? Take them or leave them. You know, because most of you will go through life going like that. Some of you will go through life going like that, like Greg Reed. And some of you might actually pay attention. 9:57 at 560 WQM. The Mad Dog's coming up at 1. Hank, the Humper's in the studio today. At 3 o'clock, then we got the Marlins on Dreck at 7 o'clock. The Marlins will go for 7 losses in a row against the Rockies at PP Park tonight, 7:35. Tom Jicca for Ed K, 10:30 tonight at ESPN and Radio. You know something? I might call Tom Jicca.
What are you going to call him?
Asshole. I'll tell you right now, Pizza Loft is where you'll find some great chow. This is one thing we can all agree on. We can agree to agree. Because Pizza Loft is home of some of the world's best chow at very, very modest prices. That's why it's so popular. That's why Jeff Cohen has been there and building that $8 million house or whatever he's got. That's why he chopped off his ponytail, because a guy that's got that kind of success doesn't want to walk around looking like some kind of a slob like Woody Graber. So get into the Pizza Loft in Davie. That's the original Broward location on University Drive between 595 and Griffin Road, kitty corner of the new Armadillo Cafe right beyond Pier 1 Imports, with like a zillion parking spots right in front of the joint. And try some of the great chow at the Pizza Loft. They got chicken dishes and veal and seafood, all your pasta favorites. They got three different kinds of great pizza, calzone, super subs. They got that fugazi pizza. And, of course, garlic rolls just dripping with garlic that I guarantee you the best you've ever had. For takeout, delivery, and catering at the Davie location, call 954-916-8880. 954-916-8880. And, of course, don't forget now, same great food, same great deals, same low amazing prices in Plantation, right behind Walgreens, corner of Knob Hill and Sunrise. For lunch, dinner, late night snacks. For takeout and delivery there, call 954-382-1999. Long overdue out there by me, because it is pretty much a wasteland in terms of places like this. Now the Pizza Loft is in Plantation, right on Knob Hill and Sunrise, like I said, behind prestigious Walgreens. 954-382-1999. Why not take the whole gang out for a real treat this weekend for a delicious feast at the world famous Pizza Loft?
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio's all yours now.
QAM.
I'm dying over here.
Science is the new subject, mysterious disease. The outbreak is so bad, there's now an advisory. They don't want you to travel to China just in case. Did you have Chinese takeout? You'd better leave some space.
Boy.
Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. Don't stand.
Okay.
Don't stand so close to me.
Oh, let me tell you what other group bailed out in because of the SARS fear and didn't come to Toronto. Cancel their appearance. You won't believe this.
Anthrax.
What a bunch of pussies. Is that incredible?
Who, the Republicans?
Anthrax.
Oh, that group?
Yes.
What a bunch of pussies.
Gail says, see, here's another interesting. I, you know, we're going to have to, like, have the audience phrase the questions for me because I think I've lost my touch.
It won't matter.
Assuming you mean what movie have I seen most as an adult. You know, something, I just got a great idea for Monday's pool. What movie did you see most when you were a child?
Okay.
We'll make the limit at age...
About 30, man.
Yeah. And then on Tuesday, we'll do, what movie did you see most as a senior citizen? Or do you plan on seeing most when you get to be 100? Come on, Gail, lighten up, sweetheart. But it is amusing. She says, 2001 Space Odyssey, otherwise it's The Wizard of Oz. Well, I guess we better put them both on her, don't you?
Yes.
Somebody faxed in National Lampoon Vacation. I already put that on there. Of course, this is one we put them all on. This isn't one where we have George veto it because he's in a surly mood or something like that. Or Beaner Boy starts babbling along, you know?
Can I make a suggestion?
As soon as I get through writing here. Don't throw me. I can't write and listen to your crap at the same time. Wizard of Oz, okay. Go ahead.
A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story?
Yep. They put 24 hours of it on Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. They put 24 hours of the same movie on TBS every
year. I thought
you
just said A Christmas Carol before.
Both of them. Movie. You want to know the third one I watch most?
You see, this is what happens when you get a punk out of direct deposit. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you he'd be on his best behavior today if it weren't for the, if it was back in the old days, he's waiting for Clarence to finally dole out that paycheck, you know, and but now that he gets direct deposit,
well,
he already had
is,
in the bank. Huh?
The good news is that Boca Bryan is teabagging his cell phone as we speak because he left
good.
It in his car.
Good. Excellent. In fact, you might actually write on it. Here's a fax that says, from Quincy in Miami, love your show. I watch the Ten Commandments every year for at least the last 28 years. I guess. In fact, that's close to...
About 30, man.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
I can't think of any movie I've seen 28 times.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. And the P.S. Mo Blow. Now, see, you got to spell this right, okay, Quincy? Quincy, you get your spell. He's got doo-doo-doo-doo-doo is, which there's plenty of doo-doo around, but...
Doi-doi-doi-doi.
Yeah, he left off the I-I-I-I-I's. Have a spy report on Mo. I saw him yesterday evening. I'll call you as soon as my asshole boss is gone, says Quincy in Miami. Okay, Quincy, we're waiting with bated breath. And get rid of your asshole boss. Tracy says, good morning, Uncle Neil. And I vote for the one movie I've watched. Now, Christmas Story, are we putting that on there?
Yeah.
Jaws.
Got it.
I've seen Jaws about 3-4 times. And you know something?
Sure.
I heard, who was talking about that the other day? Somebody, maybe on the morning show. Maybe on the Mo and Geldy show. It's it was good.
Yeah, but not as good as Goldie says.
No, it was not one of the great movies of all time by any stretch of the imagination. If you liked it, watch it every day. Watch it
about 30, man.
Before the end of the weekend. I mean, all you want. But it, you know, it was good. But I could live without it. It was just, you know, I don't know. Pretty predictable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks, Tracy. Have a great weekend, too. It says, I watched it countless times growing up and bought the video if you bet that I watch every so often. Oh, I see. I shouldn't have said that. And Tracy's going to be upset. I'm not knocking your taste, Tracy. I'm just speaking for me. I'm not that big of a Jaws fan, okay? It was good, but not something I would watch again. I've seen it, like I said, 2-3 times. That's enough. If it came on right now. In fact, what is on right now? Oh, you know what we missed this morning?
What? Oh, your cereals.
Busy talking a bunch of crap. Oh, a funeral and a movie. Oh, no, please don't tell me he's going to do that dead chick. Oh, no.
Do her.
Oh, no, I don't want to see it.
Do it.
Oh, I don't want to see that. Something Short of Paradise.
She'll probably call for it.
With Susan Sarandon and David Steinberg.
Susan
I can't
Sarandon.
Stand. I can't stand David Steinberg. I love Susan Sarandon, but I can't stand him. Something Short of Paradise. And the thing just went off. A journalist and an art theater owner wrestle with a rocky relationship. He is just, oh. So, you know, like Jewish wimpy, you know? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, like a neb?
Like a nebbish. And the other one who's like that was in Portnoy's Complaint. What's that? What actor is that?
I never saw that movie.
A Jewish actor? I didn't either. He had a box
Topol.
Of liver that he was attacking.
Topol.
Who?
You said Jewish actor. I said Topol.
5670560, pound 560. Don't forget I saw Gaslight more than once. Here's a call from Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Oh, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I got one for your poll.
Yeah.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Fear and Loathing in Vegas? How many times have you seen it?
Oh, I've got to say at least a dozen.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, okay, Pally.
I almost pee my pants every time I see that movie.
Do you really? Well, get June Allison over there. She'll help you out. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Got it?
I got it.
See, this isn't one that you have to say, well, we're going to put that, we've got to put it on there, because whatever they say is, we got to believe them, take their word, don't we?
No,
sure.
I'll pretend we do anyway. And you can start with these up there right now, because if the people don't see the what there's on there yet or get to call it in, they can vote later on. But in the meantime, we can get it up there right now, okay? So Eric don't have to diddle around with us all morning long, because he's obviously got some very important sandwiches to eat. I mean, some very important projects to work on. You follow? This is an interesting and disturbing article, like I said, by Jim Loeb. Where is this from? Oh, Interpress Service. He says, is United States foreign policy being run by followers of an obscure German-Jewish political philosopher whose views were elitist, amoral, and hostile to democratic government? Suddenly, political Washington's abuzz about Leo Strauss, who arrived in the U.S. in 1938 and taught at several major universities before his death in 1973. Following recent articles in the U.S. press and as reported in Asia Times Online, this war is brought to you by, in March, was the article, the cognoscenti are becoming aware that key neoconservative strategists behind the Bush administration's aggressive foreign and military policy consider themselves to be followers of Strauss, although the philosopher and expert on Plato and Aristotle rarely addressed current events in his writings. The most prominent is Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, now seen as the Wolfowitz of Arabia for his obsession with ousting Iraq's Saddam Hussein as the first step in transforming the entire Arab Middle East. Wolfowitz is also seen as the chief architect of Washington's post-September 11th global strategy, including its controversial preemption policy. Two other very influential Straussians include Weekly Standard chief editor William Kristol and Gary Schmidt, founder, chairman, and director of the Project for New American Century, PNAC, a six-year-old neoconservative group whose alumni include Vice President Dick Cheney and Pentagon Chief Donald Rumsfeld, as well as a number of other senior foreign policy officials, and I should mention our Governor Jeb Bush. PNAC's early prescriptions and subsequent open letters to President George W. Bush on how to fight the war on terrorism have anticipated to an uncanny extent precisely what the administration has done. Must be just a coincidence, don't you think? Kristol's father, Irving, the godfather of neoconservatism, who sits on the board of the American Enterprise Institute, the AEI, where a number of prominent hawks, including former Defense Policy Board Chairman Richard Perle, are based, has also credited Strauss with being one of the main influences on his thinking. While a New York Times article introduced readers to Strauss and his disciples in Washington, interest was further piqued this week by a lengthy article by the New Yorker's legendary investigative reporter Seymour Hersh, no relation to Sonny, who noted that Abram Schulsky, a close Perle associate who's run a special intelligence unit in Rumsfeld's office, is also a Straussian. His unit, according to Hersh, reinterpreted evidence of Iraq's alleged links to Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorist network and possession of weapons of mass destruction to support those in the administration determined to go to war with Baghdad. The article also identified Stephen Cambone, one of Rumsfeld's closest aides who heads the new post of Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, as a Strauss follower. In his article, Hersh wrote that Strauss believed the world to be a place where isolated liberal democracies live in constant danger from hostile elements abroad and where policy advisors may have to deceive their own publics and even their rulers in order to protect their countries. Shadia Drury, author of 1999's Leo Strauss and the American Right, says that Hersh is right on the second count, but dead wrong on the first. Strauss was neither a liberal nor a Democrat, she said in a telephone interview from her office at the University of Calgary in Canada. Perpetual deception of the citizens by those in power is critical in Strauss's view because they need to be led and they need strong rulers to tell them what's good for them. The Weimar Republic in Germany was a model of liberal democracy for which he had huge contempt, added Drury. Liberalism in Weimar, in Strauss's view, led ultimately to the Nazi Holocaust against the Jews. Like Plato, Strauss taught that within societies, some are fit to lead, others to be led, according to Drury. But unlike Plato, who believed that leaders had to be people with such high moral standards that they could resist the temptations of power, Strauss taught that those who are fit to rule are those who realize there is no morality and that there's only one natural right, the right of the superior to rule over the inferior. For Strauss, religion is the glue that holds society together, said Drury, who added that Irving, among other neoconservatives, has argued that separating church and state was the biggest mistake made by the founders of the U.S. Republic. Secular society, in their view, is the worst possible thing because it leads to individualism, liberalism, and relativism, precisely those traits that might encourage dissent, which in turn could dangerously weaken society's ability to cope with external threats. You want a crowd that you can manipulate like putty, according to Drury. And it goes on. You can read the whole article on our website. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what's happening, man. You see it. You smell it. It's right there in front of you. Either, you know, either get upset about it, do something about it, get whipped up to a frenzy, or just keep going like that.
Yeah.
It's all right out there. And we got another article, which I'm not going to waste the time reading, or at least I probably won't, about the fact that this whole thing coming up on June 2nd with the FCC, it's already a done deal. The FCC's Media Bureau has vetted staff recommendations for changes to a string of media ownership rules with all five commissioners, and the chosen proposals have been broadly endorsed by the commissioners' three Republican members. In other words, you know, it's 3-2. The Republicans have the edge on the FCC. It's a done deal. While the Bureau's recommendations weren't finalized late yesterday, aides expected the process to be completed by Monday. The aides say there's wide agreement among the Republican majority over the biggest issues. There you go. Come June 2nd. You're gonna have a clear channel all over your body. They're gonna be in your nose, in your ears, up your
rectum.
That's right, in your ass. Clear channel. Everywhere you look. Every radio station is gonna sound the same. Every newspaper is gonna have the same crap. Every television station is gonna be spewing the same damn pep rally propaganda. That's it. You lose. 10:13 at 5:60. What am I getting so whipped up to a frenzy about, you know?
I don't know.
Just calm down. Just look. Take a look at Aaron again on the website. You know, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this year surprise her with a gift of relaxation from the Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio, where she'll enjoy a true spa experience. The Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio is offering a great Mother's Day package for just $99. You know, Aaron's got a great package, too. Mom's journey will begin at her arrival, where professional licensed staff members will greet her with soft music, candlelight, and hot tea. She'll receive a relaxing, revitalizing facial, followed by a massage designed to relieve all stress in her neck, back, and shoulders. All of these things for just $99. The Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio is located at 726 Riverside Drive in Coral Springs, right next to the Outback. Call 954-341-6220 for more information. Mention WQM, and the first 25 people get a free aromatherapy candle or organic specialty soap in a silk pouch with their Mother's Day package. They're located, like I said, in Coral Springs, 726 Riverside Drive, right next to the prestigious Outback Steakhouse. This year, do something different for Mom with a true spa experience at the Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio. Call them today, as in right now, 954-341-6220.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Carlos, Neil and Jorge are sick. I take their place. Oh, I forget to play open bit. Today we put on a poll. The poll will be your favorite operating system. What is your favorite operating system? Windows 87, Windows 95, Windows 98, 200 NT, Windows XP Pro, Windows Me, or Mac Relays. Lego to the phone, Dubla QAM.
Whoa, you're doing another poll. They're not even there today.
So, is part of the joke.
Not a moment's peace. I haven't slept in 4 years.
Yes?
And an underling like you just strolls in, and I have to kowtow to his whimsy.
Yes?
I hate you.
I hate you.
I hate you, too.
I hate you, too. Please do not hurt me.
Well, you got me there.
We'll be right back.
10:17 at 560 WQM. We don't need that whole thing. All we need is...
Hola, this is Carlos.
Yeah, that's all we need. Andy in Miami says, the one movie I've seen 100 times, probably at least 100 more, is Airplane. Just the scene alone in the disco makes me pee my pants every time. I'm with you, Andy. It's great. Did we get that on there?
Got it.
Airplane. Caddyshack, somebody said also, somebody who likes to play golf. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay. See, I mean, why am I passing judgment on these, huh?
See how you are?
Yeah, I'm a judgmental prick. That's right. It was okay. I seen a movie. It was all right. By the way, did you know that he ran it? I didn't even know that story about Matthew Broderick.
What about him?
I saw it in the tabloids this week. This happened some time ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. He ran into a family over in England or somewhere in Ireland and killed like 2 or 3 people.
I had no idea.
God, I didn't know anything in common with Rick Sanchez. I just mentioned that in passing. And a Rich Pactor, see, of all people, this is starting to get me really aggravated. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. And he says, I've seen each a zillion times, or maybe...
About 30, man.
Yeah. I can't handle that. In fact, I'm not going to put any of them down, but just simply because I can't... Well, what am I going to do, put them all on there? We're going to have a list of 40,000 on here. The question is just, it's simple, okay? What movie have you watched the most times? Not as a child, not as an adult, in your life. In your life. You got it? In your life.
How many can we pick?
About 30, man.
One. Put your finger in your nose, get it way in there, and pick one good one, okay? That's my suggestion to you. Okay, I put down Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was okay. I mean, look, if you like it, you like it. Who the hell am I to say, right? Sean in Hollywood, who's out of control, says, if I could afford it, I would have a chip implanted in my frontal lobe playing the Maltese Falcon on a continuous loop. If only to hear Sam Spade, Humphrey Bogart, say to Peter Lorre, Joel Cairo, when you're slapped, you'll take it and like it. Yeah.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Even if the slapping doesn't cause the effeminate Cairo to act like a man. I've seen it more times than Charles Manson has seen the parole board, says Sean in Hollywood. Okay, let's get that on our Maltese Falcon. That was a great movie.
It was okay. I only saw it once.
I don't know how many times I saw it, but not one that I would watch a lot. See, this is an interesting thing. Because when you come right down to it, like, you know, songs, if you like a song, you want to hear it over and over and over again.
Right.
A song lasts like 3-4 minutes, whatever it is. It used to be like 2 minutes. But with movies, I mean, movies is an investment of time. Hour and a half, 2 hours, long movies, some are like even up to 3 hours, maybe even more. I'll tell you one I can't find that really pisses me off that I would like to see again on DVD. Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah. I'm sure it's out there.
That's an underrated movie. And like I said, the only frustrating thing about it is the ending is so bad because you get to the ending and then you read that crap about, well, you know, the director said that, you know, there was an opium trip or something, the whole movie. In other words, it didn't even really happen.
Right. Don't you hate that?
Yeah. And you feel in the movie it lasts about forever.
About 30, man.
About 30 hours. It's maybe one of the longest movies ever made, the uncut, the original director's version. Which they edited and they chopped the way down because they don't want to put like 3.5 hour movies in the theater. In fact, do you remember when Godfather, was it Godfather 2? Was that the one that was real super long? There was an intermission in that movie.
Yeah.
Now back in the old days, I mean real old, before you were born, but back in the good old days, they used to have intermissions in movies frequently.
Right.
Although the intermission wasn't between parts of a movie, the intermission would be between the main features. You'd go and you'd have your cartoon, I don't remember what order they were in, you'd have your cartoon, your 15-minute serial like Rocket Man or Zorro or Superman.
Commander Cody.
I loved, that was Rocket Man, Commander Cody. And newsreel, which would be, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then you'd have your first feature, and then there'd be an intermission, and in between you'd have like another cartoon or some, and previews. You'd have previews of coming attractions, and then you'd have a second full feature. So back in those days, it was like a day at the movies.
Right.
As opposed to now where you go into these multiplexes and there's like 75 different, well, at least.
About 30, man.
Theaters and, you know, it's an hour and a half flick and each one is showing a different one and that's it. Sure, you sure as hell don't see no cartoons anymore.
Nope.
You don't see any newsreel, that's for damn sure. Although, you know something? Don't tell this administration about that. They'll be putting pom-pom scenes with the troops returning with holding the babies again. Every time you go to see a movie, you'll be watching those scenes again. This is a subliminal. It wouldn't surprise me if they do the subliminal thing in there, like they tried with the Coke spots and the popcorn thing. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
When did they stop doing that? In fact, maybe they never stopped.
That's right.
They started doing that with the subliminal advertising where they would put in little clips of popcorn and soda and candy, and you didn't even realize they were in there.
Right. Now it's just product placement.
And the purpose being to, like, subliminally make you hungry so that you'd go rushing out to the counter and buy a bunch of crap and make all your teeth fall out.
Popcorn,
right. They would.
Popcorn candy. Chuchu-pies.
That would be a great pull to take someday. Did we ever do that?
Favorite theater food?
Yeah, favorite food at the theater. Did you ever do that?
Nope.
That would be a good one to take, like, maybe Monday.
Sure, but we'll have people faxing, I like steak, I like shish kebab.
Yeah, there you go. How about some pizza would be good, huh? Pizza's a nice good thing to eat at the, or how about Kentucky Fried? How about like a nice big bucket of Kentucky Fried at your favorite theater would be good. Just ain't the same no more, man. Just ain't the same. It's a whole different experience. And just like the thing with the DVDs now, I mean, why the hell would you waste your time going to a movie theater when you can get these things on DVD not that long after, they came out? right?
With all these extras.
Sure, with all the extra good stuff, and then the Easter eggs. Oh, God. I can't wait to figure that out. Here's Miami. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Neil.
Yes, I am.
I got a movie today. My favorite movie is Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And yesterday's poll, I was wondering what the movie that I thought was that should have been on there was The Crying Game.
It was on there.
Oh,
was it?
I'm sorry. No. I didn't get
it. Wasn't on there?
Because it wasn't the end of the movie. It was the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, somebody suggested that. It wasn't on there because the ending wasn't what was great.
Well, I'm blonde. I didn't get it till the end.
Okay.
All right, Neil. Have a good one, man. Keep it up.
You too, Pally. Thanks.
The penis didn't tip him off?
I beg your pardon?
The penis didn't tip him off, I guess?
The penis?
Yeah, penis.
Oh, she was a guy.
Right.
I didn't see that movie, The Crying Game.
Oh, okay.
I'm not into those pervert kind of movies. I like something like, Alice in Wonderland. Something really normal like Alice in Wonderland with the Mad Hatter and the Cheshire Cat.
All that hetero stuff.
Right. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. What movie have you watched the most times? Now, see, would that also be what's your favorite movie?
Not necessarily.
No. Because I still think, and it's difficult, it is so hard, but I think that my favorite movie is still Network.
Crime is mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Oh! And like I told you, I just watched about two-thirds of it again the other day. But you know when you've watched the movie too often, and when you can't watch it all the way through, because you just know what's going to happen. You
right,
know?
You know it by rote.
But there are certain parts of it that you're just so obsessed with, you cannot turn it off. I'll get back to you, Diana. The scene in his office where she's pitching to put Beale back on the air, and he says, you're talking about putting a manifestly irresponsible man on national network television, and she stands there with that bristles and nodding her head. It's just sensational. Well, I'd have to run it by Standards and Practices. And Mr. Ruddy will want to know about it, but I'll get back to you, Diana. I think that's my favorite movie, but I have not seen it anywhere near as many. Well, first of all, it's almost never on television. One of the reasons being that network television probably is like a little bit averse to putting it on there because it's an indictment of exactly what they become. But The Godfather, I mean, every time you turn around, there it is. There's the, and I'm not knocking it either because you can't turn it off. Right? Just like this show. Just like the people that claim that they hate this show. They may hate it, but they can't turn it off. 1026 at 560 QMIC, Pompano Park spot here, but I don't have any copies, so I'm just going to wing it. Well, no, because it's unfortunate, because I'm sure that Steve Wolf and our close personal friend Troy Stratford would like me to know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Panthers and the Heat are well done for the season. Stick a fork in them, they're done. And college basketball, finito. The Dolphins don't get started for another 3 months, but there's still some great live action going on where you can be a big winner. Pompano Park is open 3 nights a week for great live harness racing every Wednesday, Friday, like tonight, and tomorrow every Saturday. First post time, 7:15 in the p.m. General parking admission is free. I bet you they got some special stuff for Mother's Day, too, maybe tomorrow. But I don't know what it is because I have no copy. Come out to Pompano Park and enjoy great racing. And, of course, every day, 7 days a week, starting at noon, you got simulcasting from all over North America. Thoroughbred racing, highlight harness racing, from the best tracks all over North America. Every Wednesday at Pompano Park is Dollar Night for draft beer, hot dogs, sodas, and lots more. And I'm assuming, I'm positive, that coming up on Saturday, May 17th, that's a week from tomorrow, they'll be featuring simulcasting of the Preakness Stakes from Pimlico, and early bird wagering will start, I do believe, next Friday the 16th at 1 p.m. I'm pretty sure of that, but I don't have it a copy. Don't hold me to it, but I'm positive. Watch wager and join the crowds next Saturday, May 17th, for the second leg in Thoroughbred Racing's Triple Crown at Pompano Park. By the way, Emerald, what's the horse that was supposed to win?
Emerald Lagasse.
No, seriously, the favorite in the Derby, whatever it was. He's skipping the Preakness.
Really?
So I'm going to pick Funny Side. When Dave Johnson, when you speak to him next week. Pompano Park, a block south of Atlantic Boulevard on Power Line Road. Don't forget, live racing tonight. Great harness racing in this best post time, 7:15 at Pompano Park.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Oh, boy. I'm a Catholic.
No.
The White House issued a statement today. Postpone your trip to Canada right away. Let's not go there, it's just not safe. They're not a part of our coalition anyway. Canadians have got the sauce. Going there will bring you harm. Canadians
like us. Obey and listen and get off that bus. For planning fear, this falls right in line. And it couldn't happen at a better time. Canadians have got the stars. Going there will bring you harm. Canadians have got the stars. Canadian love you.
That's 10:32 at 5:60. That sounded like Gelgi gag in there today, isn't that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sounded like a little Gelgi gag. Gelgi.
That the power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
Yeah, somebody says The Exorcist. Of course, I've seen that several times, but not in the category with The Godfather. In fact... Yeah. In the early running on here, and the votes will be a little slow coming because obviously people are going to wait to see the movie that, you know, is the one that they saw so much. Godfather won 19, Star Wars 13. I didn't even know we had Star Wars on the list.
Oh, I put it down there when we were talking this morning. I forgot to scratch
it. Yeah, because I told you it would be on there. Star Wars 13, Wizard of Oz 11, Christmas Story 8. I don't even know what a Christmas Story is.
It's the one with the little kid, and he gets the gun for Christmas, that he wants the gun for Christmas, and you'll shoot your eye out.
Never saw it.
It's like a 40s movie. It looks
never
like a 40s
saw it.
Movie.
Probably a movie for Goyim. It's a Wonderful Life 7. Oh, and speaking of a Beaner Boy, rumor I heard was that, you know, Aaron that sent us those pictures yesterday, Amy and Aaron? I heard that he got Aaron's number. I could be wrong about that, but that's a rumor going around the building. In fact, what I heard, the whole story was I heard that he and Muff were, like, wrestling in the hall, having, like, a brawl this morning. And come to find out, Muff was trying to get the phone number away from him. It's a Wonderful Life 7. Never watched any movie more than once. 4. See, I told you. National Lampoon's Vacation 3. Gone with the Wind 3. Life of Brian 3. 2001 Space Odyssey 3. Clockwork Orange Appear. Jaws 2. 10, and then from there on. A smattering. Did we put Deliverance on there?
Not yet.
Well, why not?
No one said it yet.
Well, we'll wait till somebody says it. Because if I do that, then I'll have put on more than one myself, and we're only allowing one. In fact, here's another one, J.K. from Hollywood. We love you, J.K., but you got, like, a whole list. Plus, he's got the first one, Fast Time at Ridgemont High, which that's going to get a bunch of votes, because here's another fact. So I've seen that one easily 2,000 times, and somebody called it in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So we'll put that on there. But if you put, like, a whole bunch of them, I'm just going to Schmidt-can your facts, okay? Because what's the point? Right?
I get to name a bunch of movies.
That's like asking me... what's my favorite flavor of ice cream? And I list you every flavor that's ever out. I like butter pecan, vanilla, chocolate is pretty good. I like Rocky Road. It's just not that difficult. I understand that we're requiring you to make a judgment. Make a judgment. But every poll that we take where we let the audience, you know, kind of like build the poll, which is great because it kills time. And the audience, in spite of the fact that they claimed on that one poll we took that day, believe me, this is their meat and potatoes, man. This is what they can sink their teeth into. Just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all the denials, oh, no, that's the last thing we want to hear is these long, ponderous polls. No, it's not. You love it. Plus, I sneak in my bedtime stories. We get all the good stuff in there. Don't forget, join Joe Costello, who used to be a hell of a good broadcaster. Join Joe today, noon to 2, at the Verizon Wireless store at 3333 North Federal Highway in Pompano. Stop by to get some free Marlins tickets for tonight's game against the Colorado Rockies and register to win tickets to an upcoming home game. I'm still a little confused on what happened with the All-Star thing. Maybe it's a promotion that's over. Or maybe Doreen took Miguel's toys away. I don't know what the deal is. Bill in Fort Lauderdale says, Star Wars, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, and quickly his answer is Star Wars. Episode 4, A New Hope, The Real World. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Is this going to be like Godfather where
Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Oh. The movie Lucas made when he was broke and talented before he sold his soul to the devil for riches beyond his wildest dreams and started... Oh, that's right, because all the other stuff is... It's like that retro crap.
Right.
No, we don't want no retro crap. Okay, thank you, Bill. Steve in Miami says, Neil George and Beaner Boy, add Ace Ventura 1 to the list. He's seen it a whole bunch of times and he says...
About 30, man.
Okay, got it, Ace Ventura 1?
Got it.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh, no wonder I haven't. Oh, yeah,
wasn't
Jim Carrey.
Surprisingly, it didn't suck, and the second one was even better.
You know, I like Jim Carrey a lot.
Yeah.
But it's the movies he makes that I don't like.
I understand. Like, the second movie was actually funny.
Was it really?
It really was. I was surprised.
I'll take your word for it. At this stage of the way things are going out, I'm not going to have time left in my lifetime to watch all the movies that I got on the list now, even the ones I got in the other room sitting there, all the BVDs and my DVDs. Here's one that says, if you like Motown music, which I do love, check out the documentary Standing in the Shadows of Motown. It's about the Funk Brothers Motown Sessions musicians who played more hits than Elvis, the Beatles, and the Rolling Stones combined. It says, like you and George, I've seen The Godfather dozens of times.
About 30, man.
Especially parts 1 and 2. I won't forgive Robert Duvall for doing Days of Thunder instead. And Winona Ryder to be her boyfriend, Johnny Depp, for leaving Godfather 2 and giving us George Hamilton and Sofia Coppola. Pop had Tom Hagen and Connie. Look what we got. Oh. And then he's got a list of 75 other movies he's seen many, many times, but... And it says if you had young children, you saw The Lion King and Little Mermaid a lot also. But Godfather 1, I'm assuming after Star Wars in his case. Got it? Got all these? Got Godfather 1, Cuckoo's Nest, Gone with the Wind, Clockwork Orange, Life of Brian, It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Carol, Ocean's 11, Beetlejuice, National Lampoon Vacation, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Wizard of Oz, what's that one with 2001 A Space Travesty with Leslie Nielsen?
Right.
That's been on a few times, but I haven't watched it yet. Have you seen it?
Nope.
Can't be bad. Has Leslie Nielsen ever been in a bad movie? I don't think so. He's Canadian, eh? Wizard of Oz, Christmas Story, Jaws. You don't like Leslie Nielsen?
Of course I do.
It was kind of a pause. You notice, Carlos? Like a long, pregnant pause. Like
That's because he was talking to me.
Interfering again?
No, it was important.
It was important?
Yeah, we were discussing Ocean's 11. I don't remember anybody saying that. Neither does he. But nevertheless, it's on there.
Ocean's 11 was on a phone call. Somebody did mention Ocean's 11.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Yeah. See, this is what I put up with, folks. I got the two beaners there in the studio, and the reason the poll doesn't always come out the way you think it's going to come out and things disappear, things get edited in, is because I'm doing one show, and then the two of them are doing another show. Somebody called in and said Ocean's 11. Now, maybe you're hearing, maybe you have Rush Limbaugh disease, maybe your hearing is going to Bodia.
What?
See? A Christmas Story, Jaws, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Caddyshack, Airplane, which was hysterical. They're having a sale at JCPenney's. He was the best. That fruitcake, he was hysterical.
Leon.
Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He was a panic. Ferris Bueller, and also, what's his name, Lloyd Bridges, when he was sniffing glue. It kind of reminded me of the Momeister, you know? I'll get to it. I'll find it. It is in here somewhere.
And I picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue.
Right. Lloyd Bridges was like upside down in that one scene. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Maltese Falcon. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It's going to get a lot of votes. The Exorcist. Network. And Ace Ventura 1. Is that actually the name? Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Well, put on there whatever the hell you like. I'll know what it is. How about Jesse Ventura?
How
about that MSNBC and the Jesse Ventura thing? Boy, you talk about embarrassing. Have you noticed? Well, you probably don't watch it, and I almost never do anymore. I don't watch CNN under penalty of death. But if I ever am flipping around and I get to MSNBC, they keep changing the times of the shows. It reminds me of the old Petey Bolger thing when INZ was doing the last gasp of their talk format before they sold out and became Fox Sports with their marginal fractional numbers. And they're doing the same thing, and they move a Bill Press and Pat Buchanan. They're on like five. Nobody has any idea what time those shows are on. The big fat Nachman, I think they just took him off to the fat farm or something. And that's their new deal on there now. So anyway, Jesse Ventura, I don't think that show is ever going to see the light of day. I think that when he did the interview with the soldiers, I think that was it. That was the nail in the coffin. That was the one show. This is what we put you on the air for was that, and I think that was the end of him. Awful. We like you, Jesse, but get a life. Find a real job. Go back to wrestling. That's his thing. 10:41 at 560 WQM. You know, Mother's Day is only the day after tomorrow. It's just 2 days away. Good news is that there's still time to send your mom, wife, and grandma something extra special this year. Show them how much you appreciate them by sending an authentic Vermont teddy bear. She'll receive a beautiful little bear personalized just for her and delivered with a free card and gourmet candy in a colorful gift box. They've got great bears like the Spa Ma Bear, Mom's Biggest Fan, or the new Queen for a Day Bear. And don't forget, dads, every year it's your job to get a gift from the kids. And the mother and cub set is a perfect idea. Just add as many cubs as you need with their names embroidered right on the cute little outfits. They've got guaranteed Saturday delivery, so her bear will arrive in time for Mother's Day if you do it today. It's more creative and thoughtful than flowers. It'll last a lifetime. So call right now, 1-800-829-BEAR, and a friendly bear counselor will help you tailor a bear just for her so she'll know you're putting some real thought into it. Ordering's quick and easy. Just 1-800-829-BEAR is all you have to do. Or shop online if you like at VermontTeddyBear.com. This year, thank Mom for all she does for you with a Vermont Teddy Bear. Call right now before time runs out. 1-800-829-BEAR.
Live and local. We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Friday, you bastards.
Secretly, wiggle little in the wick of Reverend Jay. Apparently Jesse liked to play. He's a bigger hound than Richard Bay. Now all the papers say Jesse's got a love child. Yeah.
You put the baby in me, Jesse.
Will divorce papers be filed? Yeah. Likes it spicy, not mild, yeah. He's in trouble, it would seem.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're in trouble now, Jesse.
A big part of Clinton's team.
Hey.
Yeah.
You gonna buy me a necklace or something?
This was not MLK's dream.
Ooh, damn, I'm hungry, Jesse.
Hanging around the Oval Office with his hoochie girl. Expensive suit and brand new Jerry curl.
Ooh, baby, you getting a little bit fat.
In the limo, he gave her a whirl.
Don't you be touching me without beating
it
me.
It makes you wanna hurl.
Better give me something to eat.
Jesse's got a love child, yeah.
Got to buy the baby some shoes.
Will divorce papers be filed, yeah.
Around in raggy shoes.
He likes it spicy, not mild, yeah.
I'm gonna need some more money.
He's in trouble, it would seem.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Give me some of that Reverend money.
A big part of Clinton's team.
Come on, Jesse.
Yeah.
Give me a little something, something.
Leading with his balance beam.
Ooh.
Yeah.
More like a toothpick.
This was not MLK's dream.
I'm hungry, baby.
You know who I am? I'm Mo Green. I made my bones when you were going out with cheerleaders.
1047 at 560. That's killing a man, Godfather 1. Now look at this. Somebody just faxing me some Mohawk racing stuff.
Yeah.
What do you say with such disdain?
Oh, is that how it sounded?
Well, I mean, if I can't get Pompano Park copy, I can at least get Mohawk racing stuff. Fastest qualifying race ever. Art Major... 151-1 at Mohawk in a qualifying race. Oh my God, this was today? It must have been this morning. 151-1 with the last half in 54-1. Are you following that with Chris Christopher win a bike? You know Chris Christopher, don't you?
Chris Christopherson?
Let's see, here's one that says maybe you should say, yeah, maybe we should say comedy or drama, or maybe we should like make this a 40-part. What comedy did you watch more than any other movie? What drama did you watch? What sci-fi, you know, no. No. It's, you know what? No matter what you do, like right. I've always said, it's never the right thing. It's kind of like with my mother, you know? No matter what you do, it's not the right thing. It's not the way you should have done it. You didn't ask the right question. Ba, 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 ba. Too bad.
But she was a nice girl. Why didn't you like her?
No, my mother never said that.
No?
Good morning. A movie I can watch over and over again, Mel Brooks' Spaceballs. Okay, we got Spaceballs on there.
We do now.
How about Springtime for Hitler? Oh, the producers. Look at this. I wrote Space for Hitler. Well, it's a lot of Hitler talk these days for obvious reasons. Spaceballs, okay? Jane, our listener in Fort Lauderdale, Jane, says, just to prove your point about censorship in the USA, on NPR this morning they had their letters from listeners. The announcer admitted they'd received a flood of letters about a story they did about Halliburton's bid-free government contract, but the only letter they read was from a woman who said, what other company can handle the job? Then they went on to read two letters about Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street. Is that incredible?
No.
The movie I've watched the most and I can still say enjoyed is Blues Brothers. Let's get that on there, okay? I saw that once. That was enough. And not that I don't like it, Jane. It was fine. How's John doing these days?
Not good.
Poor John Belushi, huh? Fat, lots of drugs, dead. Says, I was wondering if you may know whatever happened to a newscaster on CNN named David Gutnow.
What?
And she goes on, I have no idea who that is. Yeah, I hope he's working in Canada. Well, good luck to you, Jane. Jane's great, but she always puts something on there that I have no idea what she's talking about. I saw Gaslight, Jane, okay? Believe me, you're not fooling this kid. Although I do feel a little like Ingrid Bergman today. In fact, maybe today for lunch I'll go out and give me a good steak. Well, didn't they burn her at the steak? 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T. Maybe I even look not quite as macho as Ingrid Bergman. Here's a lady in Boynton Beach. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I was just wondering if I could suggest breakfast at Tiffany's.
How many times have you seen that?
Oh, probably at least 3 dozen times.
About 30, man.
Oh, okay, you got it.
Okay, thanks. And
thanks, bye-bye.
Keep talking, I'll keep listening.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
She's listening, and I'm talking. Breakfast at Tiffany's, Audrey Hepburn. I told you she was beautiful in spite of what you said. She was scrawny. She was skinny.
Bird lady.
I'll tell you who else is scrawny is Jared Leto from Requiem for a Dream. He's could use a couple of sandwiches.
Well, he was on all that smack.
Well, okay. Is that the idea that he had, like, bulked down
right.
for that movie?
You
might have a point there. Maybe he's not really that slim. Because I'll be honest, the picture that you emailed me, see, this isn't going to go well for George's reputation, which is already suffering from all the years he's been on this show. It's, like, marginal at best.
Whatever.
But when he and Carlos are both emailing me pictures of good-looking guys, let's see. Where's the picture? Where'd it go? Oh, there he is. Yeah, see, he don't look, like, real scrawny in that picture.
No.
So he probably, like, bulked down. He probably went, like, on a Karen Carpenter diet for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had looked like real anorexic, because when you're doing as many drugs, oh, we shouldn't be saying all these things, we'll give it away. When you're doing as much of that crap as he was doing. And then he had that arm problem, too, you know?
Oh, man!
Oh, talk about purple. Woo! Man.
Purple veins.
Purple veins. Not just your ordinary kind of like purplish, but real purple veins and purple arm and purple. Well, you don't have that problem anymore with that arm. Just waiting for scenes with Lee Marvin, won the best actor for this movie, was worth watching this movie at least 80 times. He's hilarious as a drunken gunslinger in Cat Ballou. Got it?
Got it.
Not to be confused with Katmandu, Cat Ballou. Lee Marvin, great actor. He's been dead a long time. You know where he died from?
Smoking?
Smoking. Lung cancer. Heavy smoker. Heavy, heavy duty. It says the scene at the end when he was supposed to rescue Cat from the gallows, the Indian found him on his drunken horse. The horse leaned against the mercantile building with its leg crossed, said, "Your eyes." Marvin said, "What's wrong with my eyes?" "Indian, they're all red, bloodshot." "Marvin, you ought to see them from my side." That's cute. Let's see. Movies broadcast on TV? You bet, of course. I can't take it. I can't stand it. No, you must have seen it sitting down in a movie theater with at least a whole bunch of seats.
About 30, man.
Right. If so. And then to top that off, then they adding insult to injury, he lists two, he or she or it. Beastmaster and Back to the Future. Should we put one of them on there? Well, because it's first, Beastmaster.
Okay.
Okay. Although I should Schmidt can it, but. Yeah, broadcast on TV counts, okay? It counts.
How do you spell Cat Ballou?
C-A-T-B-L-E-W. B-L-U-E. B-A-L-L-O-U. Beaner boy.
Got it.
Oh, what an idiot.
Hola, this is Carlos.
Get out of here. Maniac. Movie I've watched the most times is Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Did we have that on there? I thought we did that.
I thought we did, too.
We didn't. You see it? I was talking about Charlton Heston. Maybe we just, I don't know. We screwed up. Well, it's a damn good thing they put that in there, because otherwise we'd have slighted poor Charlton.
Well, there it is. It's there. It's got 5 votes.
It's on there? Okay. Maybe I just didn't write it down, but it does have 5 votes. Godfather 1's got 39, Star Wars 20, Wizard of Oz 19, Christmas Story 13, It's a Wonderful Life 9, whether you want to or not. I mean, like for the 2 weeks before Christmas, that's on every 5 minutes. In fact, I think it's a law now, since Bush got in, every year they have to show it a whole bunch of times every Christmas.
About 30, man.
At least that's the minimum. National Lampoon's Vacation 7, Ten Commandments 6. Got 6 votes, like I just said. Jaws 6, Caddyshack 5, Never Watched Any Movie More Than Once 5. I mean, you know, to each its own. Now, you know, I'll tell you another aspect of this, which I'm sorry that I brought up, but since that fact's about the, look at this. Neil Hector says, a friend told me the scene of the parting of the Red Sea was done with Jell-O. Let's ask Charlton.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, that's right. He probably forgot. That's terrible. Well, he looked really bad in that, remember last week? We both saw him on the news where he was doing that parting thing at the NRA?
Doddering.
He looked really shot. No, I don't mean shot like that, but he looked really bad. Horrible. But the point of making movies that you saw in the movie theater more than one. Now, that's not the poll question. See, I shouldn't even mention that because that'll cloud the issue, which they're already trying to murky the waters up anyway. You see? I mean, obviously, there are movies that are that great that when they first came out, back in those days anyway, back like in the 70s, you never saw the movies on TV for years, if ever. Not like it is now. We didn't have no Showtime and HBO, all this stuff. So if you want to see a movie again, you'd go back and see it again. Like, you know, sometimes the next day it was so good. Now, I can't think of any that I ever did that with, but there are people who did. I think that there were people who went to see The Exorcist again.
Right.
And just didn't get their fill of pea soup the first time. I hate pea soup. Never watched a movie more than once, 5. 2001 Space Odyssey, 5. Clockwork Orange, you got 4 there. Cuckoo's Nest, 3. Gone with the Wind, 3. Life of Brian, 3. Beetlejuice, 3. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 3. Maltese Falcon, 3. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, 3. Fast Times at Ridgemont High's got 2. So I have a lot more than that. Christmas Carol, 1. And none yet for Fear and Loathing in Vegas, The Exorcist, or Ocean's 11. The Exorcist has no votes?
Oh!
Oh, my God. Somebody's going to have to vote for that. Wouldn't you think?
You'd think.
You'd think that they'd get the feeling right now that they'd be on their way to their computer immediately, if not sooner. Where the hell is it?
That the power of Christ compels you!
Oh!
The power of Christ compels you!
Joy!
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
That's home with you, Lucky.
Okay. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon line. I'll tell you one thing, this week has just flown by. You know, since those great numbers came out, they really flew by. And, of course, somebody was telling me about that at the ratings party a couple nights ago. Oh, you know what? Hank yesterday made a comment. I was in here doing my work, and I'll open a pot to see if he's on, he's okay, et cetera. Sounded fine. And he made the comment that it was the lowest budget ratings party he'd ever seen. It was a low-budget place, and it was really crap, and he was moaning and groaning. Now, was he bonding with Mo at that party or not?
Hank was entering as I was leaving, so I didn't see what happened once he got in there.
You missed all the good stuff. That's
Sorry.
What people want to hear about.
Sorry. It was already late.
Geez. Hey, Hank, George wants to apologize. He had a hot drug deal going. He had to be there at a certain time in Liberty City. So just one of them things. You know, he didn't want to miss his date.
Davey.
He had like a hot date in Davey. 10:57 at 560 WQM. Oh, that's right. I forgot it was our friend in Davey.
Oh,
that was
guy.
His name? Ed. Delights of West Boca is a place you ought to have a date with to go and stock up on all kinds of stuff for your low-carb diet. If you're one of those people on the Atkins or any of the other, there are zillions of low-carb diets. This is a super store for you, and all they have is items strictly for you, nothing else. They're introducing right now their new almond snack cakes by Control Carb. They come in blueberry, banana, or classic almond. Each serving is only 1 effective gram of carbs, or Sample Delight's new chocolate raspberry muffin with only 1 gram of carbs. If you like to crunch something crunchy and chunky and chewy, try one of the 3 new flavors of low-carb racket chips, open wide for chunky. So whether it's Carbolite, ice cream, breads, rolls, cheesecakes, chocolates, pasta, and sauces, or any of the other 600 low-carb foods, Delights of West Boca is a store you're going to fall in love with because everything in there, like I said, is for you. You can always try it before you buy it, too, to make sure you like it. They've got a knowledgeable staff. They know dieting inside and outside, backward, forward, upside down. They're open every day, 7 days a week, 10 to 10. They carry the most complete line of Atkins brand's products of any store you'll find. And even the best part is the Atkins products are always 25% off all day, every day. So head for the number one low-carb, sugar-free store in the universe, Delights of West Boca. You'll find them on the northeast corner of Glades and 441 right next door to Boston Market. Or call them toll-free, 1-877-LOW-CARB. Check them out on the web if you like at lowcarb.com. Don't forget there's only one Delights of West Boca. It's your official Atkins Retail Center.
My and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
Friday, you bastards.
It's new and it's at Burger King. Godfather Trilogy action figures. They're fun for the whole family. Collect all 10 mob action figures with each Whopper fries and super large drink. And that's a super large drink. No exceptions. Get Sonny in his favorite garbage can so you can beat the crap out of Carlo after he punches out Sonny's sister. Or get the bullet-riddled body of Sonny after he gets it at the Jersey Toll Booth. Wow, isn't that great? Impress all your friends with the Don himself.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
So start organizing your neighborhood now and get the Godfather action figures. Remember, it's only business, and it's at Burger King.
Johnny Fontaine will never get that movie. I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish. Well, let me tell you something, my Kraut Mick friend. I'm going to make so much trouble for you, you won't know what to
hit you. Walsh, come a lawyer. I have not threatened.
I know almost every big lawyer in New York. Who the hell are you?
What are you going to do? Nice college boy, huh? Didn't want to get mixed up in the family business? Now you want to gun down a police captain, why, because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think, this is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You got to get him close like this, and bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come here. Mwah! You're taking this very personal.
What's the matter with you? I think your brain's going soft.
But that aside, let me say that I swear, on the soul of my grandchildren, that I will not be the one to break the peace we've made here today. What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
1102 at 560 WQAM. History of the World Part 2, somebody says. Part 1.
Okay. Got some suggestions from inside the building.
I beg your pardon?
Suggestions from inside the building.
Yeah.
Scarface.
Okay.
And the Road Warrior.
The Road Warrior?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mike in Cooper City, which this has nothing to do with the pool, I'm assuming, although we're very movie intensive this week. A movie you must see is Catch-22, which somebody mentioned earlier, and they said it should have been on yesterday's for the best ending. The best anti-war, anti-hypocrisy movie ever made. Not a great cast, performances and it's got a great cast, performances and script. On my list of top five movies of all time. I don't know why more people don't know about it. I guarantee you like it, says Mike from Cooper City. I'm going to get it this weekend. Catch 22. Got it? You catch it?
Yes.
Young Frankenstein. Got it?
Got it.
Here's the fact, says, I watch Pretty Woman with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts a lot. I would watch it except Richard Gere's in it, so I will not watch it, period. But we'll put it on there. Pretty Woman. We do like Roy the Boy, though. How's Roy Orbison doing? Still dead?
Yes.
Groundhog Day. And okay. It listed here three times because it's a little repetitious. The Dirty Dozen. I'm not even writing these down anymore. I'm just assuming you're writing.
Yeah.
I got writer's cramp. The Dirty Dozen. The Hunt for Red October. It says, how many times can TBS show the same movie in 1 month?
About 30, man.
Every time I'm flipping through the channels, there it is, and I have to stop and watch it, says David. In addition, Alec Baldwin should have continued the Tom Clancy series instead of that lame old Harrison Ford. Now, don't be picking on Harrison Ford. He's, he ain't no Alec Baldwin, but he's pretty good. He is lame and old, though. What's the movie we were talking about yesterday with Harrison Ford that was so damn good?
I forgot.
What
Lies Beneath.
What Lies Beneath. That's the one. And you know, he's right. He's getting a little old and... What did he say? Old and lame. Now, he was good in that movie. A lot of good underwater scenes. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T Verizon line. Godfather 1's got 46. What movie have you watched the most times? Star Wars 24. Not even close. Not even a contest. Wizard of Oz 21. A Christmas Story 14. Airplane 13. It's a Wonderful Life 10. Whether you want to see it or not, there it is, over and over. So corny, God almighty. But it's Jimmy Stewart, so it's got to be good, right?
Yeah.
Caddyshack 10. Ten Commandments 8. Jaws 8. National Lampoon's Vacation 8. A Clockwork Orange 6. 2001 A Space Odyssey 6. Work on that dialogue. Ferris Bueller's Day Off 5. Never watched... What? Well, you can't complain about the dialogue because
there isn't
any. Never watched any movie more than once, still 5. Fast Times at Ridgemont High is moving up 5. Maltese Falcon 4. The Exorcist got 4. Gone with the Wind 3, Life of Brian 3. I'll tell you, if I was to pick 3, which I'd be like, you know, doing like everybody else is doing, Godfather 1 would be number 1, Network would be number 2, and I think Exorcist would be number 3. I watched it again like about a month ago when I first got the DVD player. 3 weeks.
Is that the one with the missing scenes or the added,
yeah.
Say added scenes?
Oh, yeah, the one where she comes down the stairs backwards. Her
right,
head
that was
like,
the
best.
That was the only one that I really thought did anything for it. All that superimposed Pazuzu I could have done without.
Pazuzu?
That was that demon that they kept showing.
Oh, yeah, that was no big deal. But when she came down the stairs backwards,
yeah,
that was kind of interesting.
Freaked.
With her hands, like,
uh-huh.
Her arms were, like, over her, I don't know how to explain
right.
It.
Backwards.
Yeah. She was great. Nobody gives her any credit for that. And nobody, whatever happened
Rick
to
James
her, she's
did.
Like, huh?
Rick James gave her a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they were doing it for a while there, a lot.
They were doing it a lot?
They were doing everything.
Well, how do you know that?
It's big news.
Right. What am I missing? What
I
important thing am I missing?
This big hot and toward thing they both
So how do you
saying.
Know they were doing it a lot? What does
it's
that mean? Like,
they said
how many
so.
Times a day?
About 30, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, what are we talking about? They were doing it a lot.
Yeah. That's what they said.
Well, great. I'm ecstatic for them. I'm pleased as punch that they were doing it a lot. But seriously, whatever happened to her? She vanished. She just disappeared.
She made some movies. Remember, you were talking about one of those ones that she did. As a matter of fact, the spoof of The Exorcist.
Right. That was cute.
Repossessed, was that it?
Right. That's right. That was good.
And she made some bad, low-budget movies where she showed her boobs, which we all appreciate.
Here's one, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Hugo
okay.
Montenegro.
Very good.
Got it? Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Wow, wow, wow.
In fact, Dan Druckenbrout, what the hell was the name he used on the air? WKZO in Kalamazoo. He once was playing that record. He said, here's Hugo Montenegro, The Good, the Bad, and Neil Rogers. Yeah, it just happened to be in a car at the time. Dan Druckenbrout, big fat, he looked like Fat Boy. Blazing Saddles, movie okay. I've seen the most. See, here's a good fact. Movie I've seen the most, Blazing Saddles. And just like this one, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. No song and a dance, no top 50, no 400, no,
About 30, man!
No, just answering the question, which is really, quite a reach with this crowd. You have to reach out and just slap them in the head. Like Al Martin. That's kind of a quiet slap on her, too, you
yeah,
know?
With
you can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
I guarantee if Sinatra would have been in the room, he'd have probably slapped him a lot harder on the side of right on the top of the head. Or had somebody else do it for him. Here's a lady in Cooper City. Hello.
Good morning, Uncle Neil. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I have seen Ghostbusters a zillion times. I can do the dialogue. I love that movie. And it's just one of those movies that stays with you. You know, you can just crack off a line from the movie
mm-hmm.
in any situation. I vote for that one, hands down.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
You know, I'm thinking, I'm embarrassed to say this because I pride myself on knowing so much of the dialogue from all three of the Godfathers. But that line that she brings back in Godfather 3 that I'm always chastising, where Connie says, Michael, now they will fear you. Now, where do they actually say that in the first one?
I'm thinking.
Now they will fear you. Ha!
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
I'll get back
Somebody
to
in
you.
This audience will know. We have a lot of Godfather experts out there. Somebody will know. I'm embarrassed because we should know that.
Yeah, we should.
Now they will fear you.
I mean, I got the book over there.
Don't forget Joe Costello, noon to two today at Verizon Wireless at 3333 North Federal Highway in Pompano. Stop by to get some free Marlin tickets for tonight's game and some other Marlin, some crap. But stop by and say hi to Joe and tell him to butch it up just a little bit. One or two notches on that show would be good. Butch it up just a little bit. We don't have too many 10-year-olds listening 3-4 in the morning, okay? I just mentioned that. I'm not trying to interfere, okay? Santino, don't interfere. Morgana King. Oh, let's hear it!
Oh!
You see, if you keep
uh-huh.
banging away enough over and over, I finally, Mama Corleone, Morgana King, who was so great, and I think she died. Here's Pembroke Pines. Hello.
Hey, Uncle Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how about Jane, Silent Bob Strikes Back?
Excuse me?
Jay and Silent Bob Strikes
oh,
Back.
Oh, Jay and Silent Bob. Oh, those two goofballs. Oh, okay. You've seen that a million times?
Zillion times. And it keeps getting funnier.
Okay. Have a great weekend, pal. You'll need it. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Now, I will say this. I still am trying to figure out what they were doing in an Afro Man video, but somebody will tell me. You already did tell me.
Yeah. On line one, they got the answer to the to where that line came from.
You forgot about the Afro Man movie with Jay and Silent Bob in it?
The Afro Man movie?
The video.
I never saw the video.
Sure you did. Where do you think we got the audio from, mister? Well, like
you
I said, he's doing so many debates. He's starting to get Norma Kent syndrome now. Here's somebody with the answer to our question. Hello.
Yes, hi, Neil. How are you?
Great.
I have the answer to your question.
Okay.
In the opening scene when he's dealing with the Undertaker and he wants and the Undertaker wants to have the retribution for what was done to his daughter, and he said if you had come to me to the police and if you and he kisses, he said then they would fear you.
Yeah,
and then they would fear you.
Then
right.
They would fear you. Not now, right? Then they would fear you. See, and I should know that because I just got through playing.
What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectful?
When he says, "How much shall I pay you?" and then he says, "What have I ever done?" You know.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Pally.
You have a good day.
Thank you so much. Well, that saved me from the whole weekend because we had the line wrong anyway. Although that's what she says in
right.
Godfather 3. Connie says, "Michael, now they will fear you." And he turns around and looks at her and says, "Maybe they should fear you." And then it's so. Oh, it's so lame. It's mm-hmm. so sad, and you want to cry. I mean, I still say it's a highly underrated movie. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. It's got too much of the truth that the people like Dennis can't handle, but it's just really great. But they did so many things to try to destroy it, and I think effectively they did a good job, including her with a big schnoz and the corny lines and bringing back lines. We've been through this a million times, bringing back lines from the other two that don't fit in at all. Maybe they ought to fear you. And see, that's part of his, you know, his shtick again, where he does stuff that's just so, so lame, you know? He can be so brilliant and on the other hand do things that he just says it in such a way, like we're watching a comedy movie, you know? Hey, here's the funny Godfather. Here's the comedian gangsters. They're a panic. 11-13, in fact, probably their victims are lightly killed, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
11-13 at 560 WQM, the number one Asian buffet restaurant is the Emerald Coast. They're in Sunrise, North Miami Beach, and their newest location is in prestigious Pembroke Pines. Emerald Coast is the perfect place to put a smile on that special lady in your life, your mom, this Mother's Day, Sunday, May 11th. Start that mouth-watering watering experience with six different soups, then sample dozens of succulent entrees, New York strip made to order in the Gourmet Center, a sizzling Asian grill with grilled shrimp scampi style, jumbo scallops wrapped in bacon, Dungeness crabs and ginger and scallions and hand-carved prime rib and lots more. And be sure to look for the new Oriental chicken salad, too. Don't forget, no crap in the cooking at the Emerald Coast. No MSG, no cornstarch, and they use only cholesterol-free oils in all the cooking at the Emerald Coast. The buffet there features a full salad bar, a sushi bar, and fresh shrimp cocktail as well. And because your mom deserves it, Emerald Coast features a full dessert station featuring pies and cakes, pastries, ice cream with all your favorite toppings. The perfect ending to a gigantic feast on Mother's Day. Mom will waddle out of there with a big smile on her puss. Emerald Coast, three locations in Sunrise. They're on Pine Island at 44th Street. They're on Collins Avenue, just north of 163rd Street, North Miami Beach. And you'll also find the Emerald Coast at the intersection of Flamingo and Pembroke Roads in Pembroke Pines. Be sure and book right now for Mother's Day because, obviously, reservations are very limited. All size parties are welcome. So let them do the cooking for you on Mother's Day at the Emerald Coast. Take out and delivery available, too. Call 954-572-3822. 954-572-3822, a great place to take the ladies in your life this Sunday for Mother's Day, the Emerald Coast Chinese Buffet.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAQAM.
I thought Joey sucked.
Hey, who you looking at?
Case. You can't look directly at him. You cannot look in his eyes. If you do, your job goes bye-bye. He'd say, when I come in a room, you leave it. You leave without turning around. It's no wonder they didn't last that long.
You slice the love.
A first class kind of nut job. Post these five guys their job.
you slice the love? And did you speak to his mom? Snap your back so is your God. This kind of treatment just ain't right. You slice the love.
See, somebody says Rocky. Let's get Rocky on the list. Because a lot of people, and we also were talking about Talia Shire, so why not? About Connie?
Right.
Put Rocky on there, then they will fear you.
Okay.
Somebody says The Sound of Music. The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Never saw it.
I beg your pardon?
Never saw it.
And neither did I. I don't watch musicals. I got enough baggage in my life without starting to watch musicals. Oh, Rain Man. I've seen that a couple of times. Three or four.
About 30, man.
No.
But by the way,
by the way, something?
Yeah. Thank you, Sal Falcone, for bringing us some more water.
Thanks, Sal. Let's see. I understand that old fags and young beaners don't like westerns, but I vote for Tombstone. Have a nice day in paradise, it says. From Howard. Oh, that's cute. Tombstone.
Okay.
Perfect remote. Now, don't put that on there. It's a joke.
I see.
And why did you fax me the Jim Sarney thing? I already mentioned at the beginning of the show that they wasted a lot of time talking about this, and Gildy was hyperventilating this morning. Why would he even dignify this with a response? Okay, I'm not going to talk about this. About QM personalities and about the outrageous. Hey, Sarney, like I said, you're ugly, you're an idiot. You wouldn't know a radio show if they stuck it up your ass, but we'll give it a shot, okay? Get lost. Go write about something you know about, which is, certainly has nothing to do with the broadcasting. Well, what a different, well, I mean, why even talk about it? The broadcast columns and the sports broadcast columns they have in the newspapers here as opposed to the juvenile sophomoric crap you read in South Florida. Here we got four major daily newspapers. South Florida's got two marginal papers that the parakeets jump out of the cage when you try to put it in there on the bottom. They jump right out. Godfather won 57 votes. Star Wars 32. Wizard of Oz 24. Christmas Story 16. I'm only going to give you the ones with 10 or more. Caddyshack 13. Airplane 13. Jaws 12. It's a Wonderful Life 11. And the Ten Commandments has 10. See, it would be bad if the Ten Commandments had like 12, right?
Yeah. Or
9.
That would be really bad, but it's got 10. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. What movie have you watched the most times? What one movie have you watched more than any other movie in your life? In the theater, on the TV, on a in an airplane?
As a child?
As a child, as an adult, as a human being, from the time you were born until this moment right now, till this second. Got it? Have I made myself clear?
No.
Well, let me try it again. Here's a call from Miami. Hello.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
How about the Josie Wales, Outlaw Josie Wales?
Excellent.
Really?
I watched that movie tons of times.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw it.
You never saw it?
No, I don't believe.
Oh, man. George has probably seen it.
Like 20 times, at least.
About 30, man.
Okay, man, it's on there. Thank you.
Lord of the Rings.
Like I said, it's on there. Thank you. He's starting to move on to other Lord of the Rings. He's moving on to other names now. See, I was so impressed there because you said, yeah, absolutely. And then he's starting with a... In fact,
right.
If I'd let him on, he'd probably name another ones now. What one movie have you seen more than any movies? What one flavor of ice cream? Oh, good God. It's so hard. It's mind-boggling how difficult it is.
It is so hard.
You're right, sweetheart. Hard as a rock. Don't start talking about that Aaron again now. I think that Beaner Boy probably blushes every time I mention that name. I can't see from here, but I almost can. The infrared glow coming from his puss.
Do you really expect people to believe?
Yeah. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. He protests too much on that thing. Here's Tamarack. Hello. Tamarack.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't understand the question, Neil, but I had it. No one's going to beat The Godfather. There's nobody.
Yeah.
No one's going to beat that. But I was going to, I know you're going to puke if I say Billy Bob Thornton. I didn't even know who he was. But Sling Blade was my first, before that other call I said a bunch. But I would say the most, I'd say, is the one of the first Columbos, which ties in with Leslie Nielsen in the sense that I've watched it so many times it puts me to sleep. And But Sling Blade I've watched so many times that it's just fascinating to see.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, we're fine.
Now, what'd he say?
Stingblade.
5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Here's a call from Coral Springs. Hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Listen, what about Blazing Saddles?
What about it? Is that yours?
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Do we have that on there, George? I thought we had that on there.
We do.
Oh, it is on there already? Okay, I didn't hear it before, that's why. What about one more? Can I ask for one more then?
No, no. Well, why do they do this? Why do they keep doing this? What is wrong with you people? Don't you understand? The answer is
no. You
can't do more than one. Crank it up.
It's enough to drive you off the end.
I hate this place. Nothing works here.
Can I add one more?
No.
No. Two more?
No.
Five more?
No.
How many more?
About 30, man.
Kill some people. Have you noticed, I should point out, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Have we had one person, well, I'm not talking about that. Obviously, I've noticed very alertly and enthusiastically. Haven't had one person call in and said they saw Requiem for a Dream, which we're just playing some music there.
Right.
Or Happiness, as a result of us talking about these
movies.
Bully, what are some of the other ones we talked about? Memento, which I still haven't watched. And one guy says if you get through the first 15 minutes, it'll be a miracle. How about the Minnesota Wild, by the way?
Oh!
Nice going there, boys. Should mention that. I know you're very hockey intensive. Wild upsets Vancouver right there in Vancouver last night, coming from two goals down and win it 4-3. And they're going to the semifinals, the conference finals. Boy, the networks are crapping their pants. Oh, brother. The Minnesota Wild, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, Ottawa Senators, and the very terminally boring New Jersey Devils. That's the final four. The ratings are dropping like a rock. Man. NHL's in big, big trouble. Deep crap. You can smell it. It's very sad. Great sport, but bad leadership. Gary Bettman, Bob Goodenough, all a bunch of idiots. A lot of greedy goofballs out there. Guys that'd be out there shoveling snow in the middle of July somewhere, way the hell up north by the Arctic Circle. These guys are getting paid $7, 8, 9 million a year. Couldn't spell George's name if their life depended on it, with a G or a J, or with an H. And there you go. Not kidding enough. Well, we don't want no salary cap. We don't want anybody telling us a limit on what we can make. Okay, whatever you guys say, okay? Good luck to you. Good luck to you shoveling crap. How do you like that? A qualifying race in 151-1. Can you believe that?
What?
26. Go talk to Chris Christopher about it. Maybe Randy Waitpoles will straighten you up. 26 past 11 at 560 WQM. The Neil Deals just keep rolling along, just like and the caissons go rolling along, so do the Neil Deals at Hallett Pontiac. Go talk to our good buddies Tom Lehman, Joe Prieto, and all the nice folks at Hallett Pontiac GMC. You'll enjoy car shopping there because they treat you like a mensch. Here are the special Neil Deals waiting for you right now. Neil Deal number one, get 0% financing for 60 months on every 2003 Pontiac or GMC in stock. Neil Deal number two, get up to a $4,000 rebate on every 2003 GMC and Pontiac in stock. Get up to a $4,000 rebate on every 2003 car or truck in stock. And, attention current and former military personnel, get an additional $750 rebate from your friends at Hallett. And, of course, Hallett, like always, has a tremendous selection of certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs that you'll fall in love with. And if other car dealers say your credit sucks, they don't care. Hallett will cut you a deal some way, somehow, even if you want a new depot. Don't forget to stop by Hallett and test drive the all-new and powerful Pontiac Grand Prix while you're at it, too. Hallett Pontiac GMC, they are unbelievable. They're unbeatable. They're at 13401 South Dixie Highway, and they're open 7 days a week, too. That's US 1 right across from the falls. For more info on those Neil Deals, call the Neil Deal hotline toll-free 1-888-534-4211. That's 1-888-534-4211. Keep in mind all Neil deals subject to credit approval. See dealer for details. Hallett Pontiac GMC, even the competition agrees, they are professional grade.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Homo, too long.
You're taking this very person.
Been watching these shows. So stupid, everyone knows. Survivor was first. Mr. Personality might be the worst. But I gotta tell you, I sat and watched. Anyway. I hope the bachelor and Phil Factor are here to stay.
Boy,
I think I got a screw loose. The reality TV. Watch Ozzy Tuesday night on MTV. Search. Lord save my soul. I even like Anna Nicole. Extreme makeover. Joe Millionaire and all you have. Don't need no actors. Don't need no script. Don't need no plot. I think I got a screw loose. A screw loose.
Yes.
Love reality TV. Meet my folks. Monday nights on NBC. I'm so sure I'll be watching Big Brother. Sick of scrubs. Give me women in hot tubs.
Oh! 11:33, 27 till noon at 5:60. In Caddyshack, I do like the scene where he and Bob Barker get into that brawl out on a golf course.
Is that Caddyshack?
Isn't it?
No. That's
what
an Adam Sandler
that?
Movie. That's Happy Gilmore you're talking about.
Oh, Happy Gilmore, like I said. Happy Doug Gilmore. Hang it up, by the way, Dougie. Enough's enough. What am I getting confused? Well, it's a golf movie, see?
Right. They're all the same.
Now, here's one. How about Animal House? We better get that on there right away because certainly on QAM, I would say Animal House, if we had the sports nerds voting, Animal House and Caddyshack just beat everything else hands down. Right?
Okay.
Because if you tune into any of our sports shows, anytime that they're talking movies, they don't talk about The Godfather, certainly not about Network, any of the stuff we're hearing about today. They talk about Animal House and Caddyshack and maybe Unhappy Gilmore. You'd be unhappy, too, if you tore up your knee in the first game back. Anyway, here's one, Going My Way with Bing Crosby. Oh, I watch it every year at Christmas, and I cry every time. Got it, Going My Way?
Okay.
Don't sound hostile now.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. Is he hostile?
No.
In your pool, why is there an apostrophe in the Blues Brothers? Oh, I don't do the spell. It says the Blues with a... Because Eric's an idiot. Or probably Beaner Boy done it. Huh?
Sure, why not?
Who's responsible for the spelling on that? There's no apostrophe in the Blues Brothers. Singing the Blues with an apostrophe? The St. Louis Blues with an apostrophe? Come on. It says, is Eric an illiterate jackass or just a Schmidthead? Well, we'll take a poll. Or is it Beaner Boy? Like I said, we'll take a poll. Now, Eric's very fussy about the spelling, even though he screws it up most of the time. So he don't mind being corrected on that, unless it's Beaner Boy that's correcting him. Then he gets really hostile and starts eating, just frustration eating, just jamming it down his puss. Here's one. Bachelor Party, says Peter in Miami Beach. Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks. Never saw it, never heard of it. But Peter says he's seen it
about 30, man.
A zillion times. You seen it?
I've seen it.
And?
It was okay. I can't imagine seeing it more than once or twice, but whatever.
Okay. Now, Sling Blade. Now, we already had Sling Blade from that incoherent caller moments ago, but here's the monkey around man. Maybe that was him before doing a voice. The monkey man? Sling Blade, he says, I've seen it about 100 times. Billy Bob Thornton, he wrote, directed, and starred in the movie, or says here, starred in the movie. It's fantastic, moving, heartwarming, and compelling. Go see it. Superb. What do you mean, go see it?
Go see it.
Where am I going to go see it? In the living room?
Over there.
Oh, okay. Does that count?
Sure.
Okay, we got that on there, Sling Blade. I'm not, like I said, I'm not even writing too many of these down because the list is out of control now. Started out with
about 30, man.
And now it's more like 300. But that's okay. I knew there'd be a lot on here. Different strokes for different folks. 325 movies. I mean, votes. You look at the list of ones that don't have any votes yet, which are, for the life of me, Ocean's 11. And somebody did say that. You listen to the goddamn tape, okay? I think you're teaming up with Tom Jerka. Trying to get him to write something about you. Did he ever write anything about you?
Oh, remember there was that one article where you were grooming me because the show is like Fitty Fitty now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got it. Wait a minute. I got it here. Maybe I finally Schmidt canned it. I must have tossed it out. It was getting real yellow and stale, kind of like Tom's head. Yeah, that's right. I'm grooming George to, like, fill in. I'm just going to call in this show from anywhere around the world as the mood strikes me. Right. And they're going to pay. And then there was that the same story about Greg ought to have, you know, how he ought to have sleepless nights because he's never going to know what I asked for next? That was the same column.
Right.
What I'm going to demand. Excuse me, not ask for. What I'm going to demand next. Did I demand this studio here?
No.
No. Tom, it's just amazing to me the lack of concept you have of what. Well, why even go into it? You know, he just—it's so frustrating. Which is why I won't talk to those bozos anymore. Because you tell them one thing, you try to explain it to me, you try to be like, you know, right up front, and then they write something whatever they want to write anyway. Oh, gee, but I wrote nice things about you. Yeah, but how about write something accurate for once, okay? Just write that I'm a miserable prick. That would make me happy, Tom. Write something about the goddamn winter rating book. You're in town. Why the hell not write something that somebody would give somebody some information, unlike Kevin Bastard, who just writes about, here's the top 10, 12 plus. Wow. That's heavy, pretty heavy duty.
Hey, George, this is Tom Jerka. Would you just pass along to Neil and Mayo? But the reason I called was that I thought maybe you could help me out. I've been trying to get those goddamn ratings. Duff Lindsay's gone home sick. Josh Darrow says he doesn't have the authority to give them to me. You know, call Greg Reed. I couldn't get him. So, you know, and then the last number they gave me was to call you. If somebody would get me the goddamn ratings, I'll
quit
pay
swearing,
the king
Tom.
Homage. Anyway, I'm only kidding, but that is the problem, and I do want to do a story on him, and I'm just having trouble getting him. So I'll talk to you. Bye.
Yeah, you'll talk to us. Tom will be on at 10:30 tonight after the Marlin baseball game. I hope you people give him a four, okay? Let him have it. Let him have it. Tell him that we're all fired up and pissed off about his refusal to deal with the fact. I mean, Mo finally had a decent book. Finally. We've been waiting over a year for this, a year. Finally has a decent book there in the morning. The humper went back up a little bit. Did pretty good, although the Schmidtmeister just beat the Schmidt out of me, you notice?
Yeah, well, wartime.
Mm-hmm. Wartime, rush time. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on, but little Tommy, you'll never get it from him, and you'll never get the truth from these two newspapers in South Florida. You can bet your life on it. You can bet Tom Jekka's life on it, okay? And that, I'm telling you, even the guy that introduced the resolution with the Broward Commission, who called us Randy, whatever his name was, the lawyer, which he's probably busy with a life. But you would think that he would have written them a letter to the editor, saying, how come you buried this story and you didn't put it in? It's a major story and all the other newspaper. How come that's not in there?
Who's to say that he didn't? Or several other people?
That was going to be my next point. In fact, maybe he did, and they're just selectively not putting letters in there. Talk about managing and burying the news, and I don't give a crap what anybody tells you. That's a major story. It's a hell of a lot bigger story than some jackass loudmouth talk show host with a gigantic ego is getting maybe tossed off and maybe not from the diversity board, which has got a whole bunch of members on it.
About 30, man.
Yeah, which doesn't do a damn thing anyway. It was just a figurehead bunch of crap. Got little Brian Craig on there. Oh, Steve, can I be just like you, Steve? Can I be a right-wing hateful piece of crap like you, Steve? Oh, my God. Scandalous. Scandalous, but that's the level they deal on, you know? That's the level they operate on. Two of the worst goddamn newspapers in the history. You know, what was his name? Gutenberg, that invented the printing press?
Right.
He would take it back. He'd say, you know something? If I knew that they were going to put two newspapers out like that, I would hide it. I'd bury it. I'd put it right down in the basement there with a spaceship at Tom Welling's house. By the way, don't forget this Tuesday night. All you perverts out there, Tuesday night's the flesh night. And actually, he was kissing Lon on a preview. It's about time. Talk about a little bit slow. I think even in my lifetime, I kissed more girls than Clark Kent. I'm telling you. And in fact, I know it for a fact. You know, don't just stand there holding her hand, Clark. I mean, just looking her in the eye. Just reach over and give her a little peck on the cheek, something. It'll be super.
Man.
Now, is there a comma in that?
He has a wife, you know.
Who does?
Tom Welling.
He does?
Yeah.
Since when? He must have just got married.
I don't know. It was in one of those Inquirers, the latest ones.
Are you serious?
Star or
that
something.
That fucking bitch.
Oh, no.
That fucking bitch.
I wonder why they don't talk about that a lot.
For the same reason they don't talk about Josh Morrow's got a wife now, too, since Dan Stewart was on our show that day.
Oh, we're fine.
Hey, for Mother's Day, and he's got a wife and babies popping out of there like crazy, like two every 5 months. Just to really try to prove it to you. Anyway, it's a perfect time with Mother's Day on Sunday to repay Mom, who spent so many sleepless nights pacing the floors wondering if your nasty ass would ever come home again. Dollar Mattress has the perfect mattress for your mom so she can get a great night's sleep. If it's saggy, lumpy, or just worn out, then call our friends at Dollar Mattress and get it all straightened out for her. 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRES. Dollar Mattress has a complete line of all the top manufacturers in the world. They got Serta, Sealy, King Coil, and Simmons to choose from. You sure as hell don't want mom sleeping on some lumpy, worn-out thing that you wouldn't put your ass on, so do something about it. Nothing's got a bigger impact on your life each and every day in the way you feel than a great night's sleep. Call 1-800-MATTRESS. I always do it, and you ought to be doing it, too. It's the easiest way to shop for anything in your lifetime. Dollar Mattress gets more repeat and referral customers. Oh, and I found something. I can't tell you this. A new candy?
Uh-oh.
Don't let me forget my Dollar Mattress. It just dawned on me. I don't want to do this to the audience because you'll be able to get it there. You know how they have these, score bars?
Right.
How they have these bags of like Reese's peanut butter, what do they call those things? They're like M&M's, they're like in plastic bags.
Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces?
Yes.
And now they have score pieces. In other words, they're round like,
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway, Dollar Mattress gets more repeat and referral customers than anybody else because they know how to treat their customers right. Once you buy a mattress from Dollar Mattress, you'll never go back to a showroom again. And don't forget, when you buy a mattress from Dollar Mattress, this is one of the best deals. Not only do they show up on time when you want them to be, but they also set up and remove the old bedding for free. Let me say it again. Dollar Mattress sets up your great new fancy schmancy bedding and takes away the crappy old soiled bedding for free. So this Mother's Day, have mommy sleeping like a baby on a great new bed from Dollar Mattress. Gift certificates available, all denominations too. So call right now. There's still time. Call 1-800-MATTRES. That's 1-800-MATTRESS. For Dollar Mattress, the easy and intelligent way to get you a great night's sleep.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Friday, you bastard.
Eisner?
Mr. Mouse?
What the hell are you doing to me?
What do you mean, sir?
Why am I reading in the paper you're going to put a Disney theme park in Brooklyn?
Well, sir, we're just scouting locations.
Jesus, I'm scouting CEOs. You are killing me.
But, sir, look what we've done with New York City, Times Square, 42nd Street.
Hang on. Remus! Remus! Turn off the vacuum cleaner, Remus! Get that bluebird out of here!
Okay, boss.
Eisner.
But, sir, look what we've done with Midtown Manhattan. 42nd Street is incredible.
Oh, you know what? Publicly, I supported that, but you took all the porn away. You're killing me. I'm going through Gaviscon like Keds.
We're just scouting areas. Calm down.
Listen to me, Butt Munch. Don't tell me to calm down. We got lucky with Lilo and Stitch, $128 million. Now, you're trying to ruin the whole network. What kind of programming are you running? Hang on a minute. Remus,
yeah,
you've got bluebird crap all over your shoulder. Clean yourself up, for heaven's sake. And turn off the vacuum cleaner.
Okay, boss.
Good God.
Sir, the network is fine.
Why couldn't you come up with American Idol? Good God, you're still running James Bond movies. They're 60 years old. Why don't you just put Steamboat Willie on and be done with it? At least then I'd make a couple of damn dollars.
Well, the movie division's fine. You mentioned Lilo and Stitch, and now we have the new M. Night Shyamalan movie coming out later this summer.
Oh, I know. Signs. What the hell does that mean? Stop sign, yield sign. You gotta start swinging some of these titles past me.
Please.
Remus! Remus!
Can't hear you, boss!
I know you can't hear me, Remus! You're still running the vacuum cleaner!
Yes, I'm not, boss. I'm running the vacuum cleaner.
Get out of here, Remus, and take that bluebird with you!
All right.
Hi, sir.
Yes, sir?
I'd be very careful the next time I started my car if I were you.
What do you mean, sir?
I'm about done with you.
What?
Bob done.
What, sir?
I'll put Hannah Storm in your job.
But, sir, I'm...
You're terrible.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I'll put Remus in there. How'd you like to be president of Disney, Remus?
Oh, my.
What a wonderful day. Get out of here, you nutbag.
That's still the best one.
No doubt.
Prominent still new, and boy, we got faxes up the ass here now. Can we say
rectum
up the ass? I did something terrible. I hate to admit this, and I wouldn't have to tell you because you never know.
Yeah.
After that came into my mind again about these score bites is what they're called.
Yeah.
I went into the other room. I went into my trash bag, and I dug down to the bottom, and here's the, I mean, it's empty, of course, but here's the package. Score Bites is what they're called. Buttery toffee crunch enrobed in rich milk chocolate. Enrobed. Isn't that a great word? Score Bites. You've never had these?
No.
Don't start. You can take fish food. You can take Nestle's turtle. You can take all those other things and toss them down that hole in the floor in Paris in your hotel. That hole in the flow. Because Score Bites, oh. God, are these, they're so rich and so, you know how Score and Heath bars are like very,
right.
Very rich, real
sure.
Sweet? Well, that's what these are.
Mm.
And what makes it even worse, which I also don't have to admit, but I'm
are you looking in the bag?
I'm sniffing it. What? No, it's still got the smell of that stuff in there. Are you kidding me? It was only from 2 days ago. Mmm. The aroma. Wow. Anybody else, I'll just tell them it's a SARS mask.
Okay.
It's a fancy
right.
In fact, if you turn it around, it's just silver on the inside. Yeah, it's my SARS mask. Oh my God, is that? Let me get rid of it, okay?
All right.
Until 1 o'clock, when I'm going to go run out and get about 4 bags more. Okay, back to our poll. The poll question is, which I forget already, what movie have you watched the most time? And you know something? I haven't read this article, but I'll save the facts for a minute. A Nation of Cowards?
Oh, please.
Yeah, told you. Sidney Hall Jr. wrote this. No relation to Joe Marsh Jr.? Sidney Hall Jr. is a poet and publisher who lives in New Hampshire. And he writes A Nation of Cowards. For a brief moment after 9/11, we recognized some genuine heroes in our midst, those who put their lives on the line to rescue strangers, and those who put their own needs in the back of needs of others in the middle of tragedy. The celebration of this heroism may have become a little gaudy, but it was sincere. Since then, we seem to have become a nation of cowards celebrating illusions. There is a president who, in reaction to the devastation of 9/11, does not act with forbearance, curiosity to understand the root cause, and as a world leader. Instead, he lashes out at blurry targets with more force than we were met with. This is not the act of a brave man. This is the act of a coward. There is a senator who sees his country yawing dangerously off course and for the first time in its history abusing its power openly and shamelessly. The senator says nothing, though he knows better, because he's afraid of an emotional backlash if he engages in rational discussion. He's afraid he'll lose the next election. This is the act of a coward. There is a citizen who's unable to think. He succumbs to fear, believes every scary story he hears, buys duct tape for his doors and windows, when a bit of thinking would tell him he's in more danger from getting into his car. This is the act of a coward. There is a journalist who knows there are young children dying in hospitals in Iraq with their bodies horribly disfigured as the result of our country's doings, and he will not show pictures of these children so that people can weigh the consequences of war for themselves. He shows pictures of massively armed Americans and reports every coalition news release as gospel truth. This is the act of a coward. There is an attorney general who's so scared by events that he's willing to subvert the very essence of what we would normally be fighting for. He wraps his subversive activities in a cloud of confusion. This is the act of a coward. There's a citizen who hangs a flag out on his house as a sign, proclaiming that he cannot think, that it's enough to support our troops whether what they're doing is right or wrong. This is the act of a coward. There's the soldier who fires into an oncoming vehicle carrying a family with women and children because he thinks they're coming after him. This is the act of a coward. There's another soldier who fires into a crowd of civilians when somebody throws a sandal at him. Sure, he's young, scared to death by the situation he's been unfairly drawn into, but he doesn't wait for a real reason to fire. This is the act of a coward. Another soldier trains the barrel of his tank on a hotel full of journalists and fires. This is the act of a coward. A soldier stands by while hospitals and museums are looted and anarchy descends on a great city. This is the act of a coward. Many of these are scared kids put into an impossible place. We should pity them, but that doesn't make them heroes. There's a reporter who forbears to report how scared and unnerved these kids are for fear he might undermine his president. This is the act of a coward. A member of the U.S. Congress goes into his cafeteria and renames French fries Freedom Fries because he's unable to take any criticism from another country, even the country that helped pave the way for American freedom in the first place. Is this the act of a brave man? No, this is the act of a coward. A scholar who advises the White House concludes that force and fear are the only way to end a cycle of terrorism that perpetuates itself because of force and fear. He doesn't even think about finding the reasons for the problem or the solutions. This is the act of a coward. And the president comes forth smirking and swaggering, dressing in military garb and gloating. We've seen him from the worst of world leaders. We've seen this from the worst of world leaders before, the Stalins and Hitlers, and though our president may not rise to the same level of evil, he resembles them uncomfortably. They are the leaders that did what they did and smirked and swaggered while they did it because they were essentially cowards too. We have, it seems, at last become a nation of cowards. Cowardice has woven itself right into the fabric of our lives, a nation of cowards, except those who aren't, and there are many. In the heart of every American, there is a bravery waiting to emerge. If someone would come along who'd call on that bravery, if another Martin Luther King came suddenly into our midst, you'd see bravery flower everywhere overnight. We are all of us, after all, just human. Sidney Hall, Jr. Pretty damn good stuff. It's on our website.
Hard to take.
But it is...
absolutely correct, sir.
Okay, here's some faxes. Unlike some of your polls where I find it hard to narrow it down, this one's easy for me. The Great Escape. This movie was my favorite when I was 6 years old. Still enjoy it today. A tremendous cast with an exciting story loosely based on fact. Whenever it's on the cable, which is often, I'm sucked in. The same is true with The Godfather. But I started watching The Great Escape many years earlier. A lot of years.
About 30, man.
Right. TR in Hollywood says, how about The Matrix? Watched it a couple of dozen times. It's in the VCR in the spare room all the time. Turn it on and watch forward, backward, upside down, whatever I'm in there.
Got it.
Also, TR said, did you notice they moved Crossfire to 4:30 for only a half an hour because there was too much liberal talk? Right. In an obscure time, when late in drive time when nobody's watching. Yeah, no great loss, though, you know? It's hard to see that bow tie. Kind of hard to choke a guy when you get pissed off at him if he's wearing a bow tie, you know?
Speaking
of the TV, Richard's alive on Guiding Light. Just in case anybody ain't been watching the last couple of days, Richard's alive. That's going to be a tough one to explain away. Reva went to jail for turning off the life support after he got into a car wreck and he died months ago. Okay, now all of a sudden, only on the soap operas, he's alive, he's back. UHF by Weird Al Yankovic, somebody says, features local girl Victoria Jackson. You got UHF?
Got it now.
Gets funnier each time I see it, and I've seen it a lot, bunch of times.
About 30, man.
Side-splitting, fall off your seat funny. Here's another one from somebody trapped in Boca who says, I have a movie you might not be familiar with, but you should watch it if you get a chance. This is Spinal Tap. It's probably one of the funniest movies ever made. It's a rockumentary about a fictional 70s English group. What was the movie? The Ruttles? Is that the Monty Python one?
Yes.
The Ruttles. Rob Reiner wrote, directed, and starred in This is Spinal Tap, a spoof about the music industry. Since you're in the entertainment business, you'll appreciate themes of censorship, swollen egos like Moe, and general chaos. I've seen this movie about 130,
man.
Times, man. We enjoy the hell out of your show. Listen as much as we can. If it wasn't for the bedtime stories, we really wouldn't know what was going on out there. Also, George in Weston says, growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, the movie MASH would be up there. Also, I missed your poll yesterday, but a movie I think you and George might enjoy is Roman Polanski's The Tenant. Very bizarre movie with a very bizarre ending. I says you and George. He didn't mention Beaner Boy because probably the Roman Polanski's movie. So Beaner Boy ain't old enough for that yet, right?
Not yet.
You got MASH on the list?
We do now.
MASH it. Godfather 1, what movie have you watched the most times in your life? Not as an adult, not as a child, in your lifetime, since the day you were born.
Broadcast TV.
My Rush Limbaugh disease just kicked in. I didn't hear a thing you said. Godfather 1, 69, see? Star Wars 42, Wizard of Oz 31, Airplane 19, Christmas Story 19, Caddyshack 17, Jaws 17. Now, the reason I couldn't do that Happy Gilmore thing, I can't stand. What's his name, that punk that's in Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler.
Oh, can't stand him. You like him?
No.
Oh! National Lampoon's Vacation 14, Ferris Bueller's Day Off 12, It's a Wonderful Life 12, and the other one in double digits, The Ten Commandments, has guess how many?
About 30, man.
10.
Live and local. We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
I am Frau Ileana Ross Leitman, and I like scrubbing my smelly gorilla ass with soap made from jewels and listening to the Neil Roque Comunista Hour. Hey, Brian!
I think my turban is crying. Hotter and hotter, it's burning right through my robe. Push, 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 why do you set my country on fire? Every place is flaming, I don't know which way to go. The explosion burns things hotter. The tanks and trucks melt just like butter. It's like
a bunch of burning musk. 1202 at 560, WQM, the mad dog, the angry puppy.
All right.
The hostile hound will be along at 1, Hank in the studio at 3, and then we got that Marlin crap. Tom Jicker for Ed Kaplan after the Marlin game tonight. Call in and get me some answers to some questions that he's avoiding and evading. They won't do it. They won't do it any more than they'll even write a letter to the editor in either one of our newspapers. Can you believe that nobody wrote a letter about that Broward Commission resolution?
No, I don't believe
about
that.
The Patriot Act? I can't believe it. I think you people are suppressing the news at the Sun Sentinel and the goddamn Miami Herald, okay? I think that's what you're doing, trying to cover your tracks. Oh, no, that's not a story. Let's put in about 40,000 more words about Mr. Ego and about Miriam Elephant, okay? That's all people care about. Jesus, K. Christ. You know what I'm thinking?
What?
Nestle's turtle ice cream in a big bowl, melted down in the microwave for a few seconds, with Scores Bites and whipped cream on top. Not forget about and marshmallow on top. Drizzled with hot fudge.
Oh, stop.
And cherries.
Oh,
and some
yuck.
Of the cherry, some of the cherry juice from the bottles, you know, drizzled around the edges. Oh. I think my blood sugar just went up 80 points. Maybe not 80, but. A lot.
About 30, man.
Oh, stop it. You ever had Scores Bites, huh?
Not yet.
How about Beaner? Well, you know, see, Beaner Boy, we don't have to worry about it. You don't like chocolate. Your taste is in your tush, man. That's what Muff said. That's what he told me. He said, pretty tasty.
Tush.
What movie have you watched the most times in your life? That's our poll question. We're spending half the time on a show trying to explain the question, which is good. It kills some good time. And then once they understand what the question is, then they say, oh, well, we'll get back to you. Godfather 1, 69, Star Wars 43, Wizard of Oz 32, Airplane 22, and then you look from there. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. I think what I'm going to do is because I don't want to sit around here on a Friday night listening to some stupid show, I think I'll tape the Jicka thing while he's on. I want to hear his lame answers, his lame excuses for why he does such a piss-poor job covering what's happening in the local media in this town.
Oh,
piss-poor.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Huh?
I'm sure he'll address all those issues.
Well, in other words, not one person's going to have the chutzpah, the balls to call in and put him on the spot about it?
No.
Oh, jeez. Or maybe they can talk about the dog track. Here's Miami. Hello.
Hey, Uncle Neil. How you doing?
Okay, sir.
Question. Did anybody answer your Godfather question about in the Godfather 1, when did they say then they will hear you?
Yes, he did. Buonasera.
That was in the beginning of the movie.
Then they will fear you.
I know you probably might not agree with it because I don't think you like it. But
Wait. It's got nothing to do with it.
No, I know. But it's one of the movies that I've seen probably the most in my life, and it's The Matrix.
Okay, I think we got that on there now, don't we?
We just put it on there.
We just stuck it on there.
All right, Uncle Neil. Have a good day.
And you too.
Bye.
See, whether I agree with it or whether I liked it or not is totally irrelevant. That's what makes this so easy. You're not going to have to convince us of anything. If that's the movie you've watched 50 million times, that's what we want to know about. Now, what question of whether George agrees with you or not, you don't have to get his seal of approval today, unlike most other polls, when if he gives looks at you cross-eyed, forget it. If he gives, just the wrong sound, like, eh. It won't get on there. Come on, let's hear it. Oh, and those people that are waiting for the Mad Dog and that where you drudge packing. Now, do we have the one that he did that we couldn't use?
We have the not yet heard new one.
Were you drudge packing?
Oh, great. Well, what have we been holding back on that for?
We were just told.
You mean to say that my psychic powers kicked in again?
You got it. I just loaded it up right now.
Kurt, no.
Told us 3 minutes ago during the last break, as a matter of fact.
Are you schmitting me? I'm telling you, seriously, I'm not using my psychic powers to the fullest. If I would really put my head to it, I could just say, hey, screw everybody. Hey, Greg, have a nice life. Go get a haircut. And I could just put my go to the track or do something. See, my problem is when I go to the track, I allow myself to be influenced by certain other people. You know what I mean? I don't want to mention no names.
No.
Certain other people. Oh, the four warmed up great. Blah, 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 blah. It's all that crap about who warmed up like this, you know.
You could be the Gypsy Queen.
Yeah, or at least part of that.
Were you drudge packing?
That's great. Oh! That is sensational. I like the enthusiasm puts in that, you know. In fact, wait a minute. Let's play these back to back. Let me play this one first, because this one isn't quite as much. I mean, it's fine, but.
Were you fudge packing? Were you drudge packing?
Yeah, see, that one has just a little bit more enthusiasm. Nice going, Mad Dog. Thank you. See, he's always there for us. He always obliges. He's got a sick, twisted sense of humor. And then, of course, there's the Humper. I still want to get a spy report on how the Humper bonded with Mo at the, ratings party the other night. That must have been really, really something. Probably what started off on the right note was when Hank walked in and looked up at him and said,
"You asshole!"
That probably put it on a good footing right off the bat. Those two don't get along too good. In fact, I think there's probably even a worse strain between those two than there is between me and Mo, you know?
You think?
Well, at least Mo agreed to let us do that keychain thing. The Warriors, somebody says. Okay, you got that? The
got
Warriors.
It.
And let me ask you, how come you're faxing me all of these?
Why not?
Well, couldn't you just read it?
I could, but who the hell wants to hear me talk?
That's a good point. Like I said, keep faxing them. Otherwise, that one guy will call it again. Wasn't that yesterday?
That was yesterday. It was great. He was sucking Carlos's ass. Unfortunately, he agreed with everyone else.
5-6-7. He was... that guy was on Carlos's ass, too?
It's a boy. Popular ass.
Like that one bit we got, it sure is getting pretty crowded back there. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T in Verizon. That's that Casey Crazen bit. Here's a call from Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Uncle Neil.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I've got one movie for your poll. Just one.
Okay.
And I'm really surprised that nobody's mentioned this before.
All right.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah. You know something? That was just on I saw it a few days ago.
And there are people who have gone to that every Saturday night.
Right.
Like a church meeting for years.
There are people in America who've watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show more times than they watch the nightly news.
Right. And if they're honest with you, I think a lot of people vote for that. And
amen.
So I wanted to add that to your poll.
Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
And I love the drudge packing thing. That's great.
Were you drudge packing?
That's priceless.
Thanks.
You have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.
Now what's this movie?
Nagasaki. Instructions were precise. To the north, Japan's greatest torpedo plant. To the south, steel and arms works were located in the heart of the city. The bomb was aimed midway between the two plants to cause greatest possible damage. Because the plants were located in a valley surrounding...
Yeah, but you're not getting that good stuff down there.
Nope.
Once in a while on that channel we see Reefer Madness.
Hmm.
And what's that other one? The F-word, I told you. Every now and then you see the video from that. And it's the original one. I mean, it's the voice.
Wow.
That's where it came from.
How do you like that?
You're not going to see it there.
Sharp or skillfully used as in previous excisions.
Ooh, there's
that
a liver.
That point to rage, loss of control.
Oh, nasty. Have you ever seen I don't want to go into it. And there's Robert Duvall.
Duck Dangus, much to his chagrin. But in so doing, he sees the tango and gets hooked on it, which is a different animal to him.
Uh-huh. Then he gets hooked on the tango.
Yes, so it's a kind of a connection of the two cities that way.
Anybody wants to say anything, brother, you know, we look to you. This will go from here, us, to that, good, to the big screen, complete screen, with credits. But with us talking about it.
All right, let's go to one.
How do you like that? Robert Duvall, one of the unsung heroes of our lifetime. Just love Robert Duvall. But the guy was right about the facts. He should have, you know, the hell with the money, okay?
Right.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
He should have been Godfather 2 and 3.
Why does everyone have to be a freaking mercenary?
Right. Like I said, screw him. Okay, good actor, but screw him. 5670560. Here's Boca. Hello.
Neil?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
And buenos dias.
My favorite movie, the movie I've watched the most, and the movie with the best ending is Once Upon a Time in America, the long version.
Right.
And the reason why I'm so intrigued by that is because at the end, after Max jumps into the dump truck, it flashes back to Noodles in the opium den, and he's smiling. And the question is he smiling because he has all the money, or is he smiling because he knows that Max is still alive?
I think he's smiling because the Kishka just thought out. No, you're right. That's
the
a good point.
Kishka of what?
Huh?
Of who?
Yeah, somebody's Kishka's just spilled out. Yeah, I thought that you could see the zits flying from James Woods' face in that scene. Right out of the garbage truck?
Yeah, but when they flash, in the long version, they flash back.
To yeah, him, no, I understand
if
what
if
you're
recall,
saying. I was just joking, yeah.
Yeah, if you recall, they flash back to joking. After they were kids, after right. He saw the body, after they were in the flames.
Right.
And he goes to the opium den, and then he's smiling. And he may be happy,
yeah,
but the question is, did he know that Max was alive?
Right. Good question. We'll never know
think?
The answer either. We'll never know the answer.
That's why I keep watching it.
To see if we can figure it out. Okay, pal, have a great day.
Thank you.
Once Upon a Time in America, let me say it again, a really very good movie. Great cast. Robert De Niro, James Woods. You want a patch and tuchus? Remember that?
Yeah.
Although I think he said tuchus. You can tell it's a goy trying to play a Jew. You know, Jews don't say tuchus.
Who said that?
He said it took us 5 years to make this freaking movie or something like that. James Woods said that.
Oh, he's a Jew.
James Woods is Jewish?
Oh, God.
Oy! Oy vey. You know who else he played? He played Roy Cohn. Speaking
right.
of where you are, drudge packing. 12:13, and I see great similarities there, only Roy Cohn at least was an attorney. 12:13 at 560 WQAM. Hey, Richard Mellon Scaife is, where the hell did I have that? I've got some really great story about Richard Mellon Scaife, a great website. Maybe we'll do that over the weekend. Send it along to Beaner Boy. We'll put that on there. So people really get the story behind the story of who's pulling the strings and pumping all the money and all this right-wing crap that's going on, all this propaganda machine that's going on. Richard Mellon Scaife. Farbissen. 12:13 at QAM. You know, Mother's Day is just the day after tomorrow. This year, why not surprise her with a gift of relaxation from the Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio, where she'll enjoy a true spa experience. The Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio is offering a great Mother's Day package for just $99. Mom's journey will begin at her arrival, where professional licensed staff members will greet her with soft music, candlelight, and hot tea. She'll receive a relaxing, revitalizing facial, followed by a massage designed to relieve all stress in her neck, back, and shoulders. All of these things for just $99. The Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio is located at 726 Riverside Drive in Coral Springs, right next to the Outback Steakhouse. Call 954-341-6220 for more information. Mention WQAM and the first 25 people will receive a free aromatherapy candle or organic specialty soap in a silk pouch with their Mother's Day package. You'll find them in the Coral Springs, 726 Riverside Drive next to the Outback Steakhouse. Call 954-341-6220. Don't forget, this year do something really different and really neat for Mom with a true spa experience at the Inner Retreat Spa and Wellness Studio. 954-341-6220.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAQAM.
I wouldn't believe a word Neil said if his tongue was notarized.
We'll meet again if we don't wind up dead. From the Bush cartel that left us all this way. We've all been duped. Line support was our doom. As the bombs drop from the skies from far away.
I'm dying over here.
Maybe we should have paid attention a little bit more to the facts we chose to ignore. The price of gas has declined, but I'm afraid that the line won't be very long. We'll meet again with our that by then civil rights will be restored one sunny day.
Get the honey, Julia.
If we don't wind up dead from the Bush cartel that left us all this way, we'll meet again with the hope that by then civil rights will be restored one sunny day.
1218, 560 WQM, 430 votes. Now, no votes yet for, Ocean's 11 got one. That's the person who called it in. You have little faith. No votes for Bachelor Party, Going My Way with Bing Crosby, Beastmaster, Sling Blade, Pretty Woman, or Catch 22, Ghostbusters, or Fear and Loathing in Vegas yet. And let's make sure we get those late ones on. A Rocky Horror Picture Show is going to get a lot of votes.
It ought to.
Once Upon a Time in America, it'll get some. And The Spy Who Shagged Me, says Amy. She says, probably the funniest movie I've ever watched and so much better than the original, Austin Powers. Mike Myers will be on Jay Leno on Monday night, telling the world that Toronto is wonderful and safe and that we've been given a raw deal here and everything is no problem. Come on up. Good Canadian boy, Mike Myers. Jesse says, though I don't like the movie, I know you don't like the movie, I've seen JFK about 30 times. Not so much for its accuracy, but for its characters, especially Joe Pesci as the fake-eyebrowed, neurotic David Ferry. Also, Jared Leto has a small part in the movie American Psycho, with another hunk, Christian Bale, a definite must-see. American Psycho?
Is that their suggestion, or are they just telling you?
No, I'm asking you, was it a good movie? No,
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, that's what you said about the whatever that crap was, too.
What, Bully?
Kids? Bully, yeah, Bully.
Never even seen it.
I think it was George done that, didn't he?
Right.
5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. I mean, this is a very scientific thing. When we get done with this pull on Monday, we want to make damn sure that it's right on the money. Here's a call from Dania. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I have a list of a bunch of them, but I'm going to have to go with Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
You don't like Pulp Fiction?
I don't have to like it for it to be on the list.
Okay, can it be on the list?
It's on the list right now because
okay.
You said it.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too. See, she's upset because I didn't like it. See, just because, I mean, you might not like Scores Bites. Carlos don't like it. He don't like chocolate. That means more for me. I don't understand that. I know that everybody's got different tastes, but for the life of me, how can anybody not like chocolate?
That's a first. I've never met anyone.
Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Nope.
I can't even envision it. I can't imagine it. I only wish that it was me.
I thought that was a universal tie that
bound. I wish I didn't like anything sweet and I didn't like pasta or any kind of Italian food like pizza. If I didn't like any of that stuff, you know how many pounds I'd weigh?
About 30, man.
Tops, soaking wet.
See, I'm more evolved.
You're what?
I'm more evolved. I'm the next step in the human evolution.
He's a mutant is what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm. A mutant illegal alien, which is a special category. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T
they
and
they
Verizon.
Have that web foot, dry foot policy for them.
Yeah. No, in his case, it's the wet back, dry back policy. Or when Duff gets older, it's the old bare back policy.
We just got a call from a friend of yours that agrees with me that he doesn't like chocolate either. Moses.
Yeah.
So there's two of us mutants.
Yeah, but there's one big difference. He looks good. He can afford to like whatever he wants, okay? In your case, your options are very limited. Here's Boca. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Neil. It's Hope Sound now, but I got a movie, but I'd like to comment on that editorial, that Sound editorial you read a while ago.
Which one was that?
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit. Which one?
That editorial you read pretty specific about cows.
I can't hear a damn thing you're saying. Call me back or come back to town, okay? He's on his way to Hope Sound. Could you understand what you're saying?
The coward article is what he was talking about.
Yeah, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. Could you?
No.
Oh. 5670. Oh, now somebody's going to say, see, he wanted to disagree. I don't know whether he agreed or disagreed. I don't know what he wanted to say, but I couldn't, I can't leave that on the air. Get a real phone, pal. Get one that works like more than 10 miles. About, here's a North Miami. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've got my favorite movie of all time. I've seen it about 30 times.
Yeah.
Paul Newman, George Kennedy, and Strother Martin, and Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke was
great.
Good.
One.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great movie.
Okay, you got it,
all
man.
Right.
Thanks. See ya. Cool Hand Luke's on the list. Do we have a Rocky Horror Picture Show on there yet? I don't see it. I know it's in the middle of one of Eric's lunches right now, but I don't see it. Do you?
No.
Did you pass it along, Beaner?
Yes, sir. That one and a whole bunch of others.
The Should Blues Brothers. Also, you might mention him. The Blues Brothers still has an apostrophe on it. We don't want to leave it like that all weekend long because people will start making all kinds of cracks about you and Eric all weekend for days and months to come. Let's get the apostrophe out of the Blues Brothers. How do you put an apostrophe in the Blues Brothers, Carlos?
My bad.
How do you do such an idiotic, illiterate thing? Probably too busy looking at them pictures of Aaron to get it right. See, how many months has he been working on this show and it's already starting to rub off? It's either that or it's because he's Cuban. I think probably the latter. 5670560. Well, see, at least he can say, here's a good-looking guy without getting like all uptight about it and all, you know, concerned. Although he did put in gigantic letters about his heterosexuality. Humongous letters. And you know something? I think in your case, it's probably a good thing. Here's Al Pertel. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Neil?
Pretty good, sir.
A movie, like the lady said, the Rocky Horror, Woodstock was the one I've seen the most. Because
oh, really?
Midnight movies for a buck. And back then, there was no music video, so you could see people performing in it. I've seen it probably about 150 times.
And had to be stoned every time you watched it, I'm sure.
Abso-friggin-lutely.
Right.
Now, this week, since you were talking about movies, you brought something to my mind, because you always talk about network, life imitating art.
Mm-hmm.
There's another movie like that, Being There. If that's not friggin' Chancy Gardner in the White House, I'll kiss your pimply fat ass.
Okay.
Later, Neil.
Thank you. I don't have a pimply ass. Fat, yes. Not pimply. Not yet. Although, wait a minute. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
5670560. It felt like a pimple. Pound 560 on the game. Maybe it was a scores bit on the way out. God, that's... Why do I do that?
I
apologize
know.
For doing that, because now a whole bunch of people, and then they'll blame me.
Right.
Remember when I was talking about Smarties?
Mm-hmm.
Smarties are okay. They're like sweeter M&Ms. They're better than M&Ms. But these things make Smarties and M&Ms taste like dog crap, okay?
Wow.
Now, I wouldn't know firsthand, you know, but from those people who have had dog crap. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon line. Here's Fort Lauderdale. Hello.
Neil, what's going on?
Yes, sir.
Movie I've seen 20,000 times, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory? You don't say that with Carlos, listen. Are you serious?
One for you with your lover boy, Johnny Depp. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
50 times.
I love it. Okay, thanks. Yeah, Johnny Depp hits the ceiling.
Squirt, squirt.
In that movie with blood, unfortunately. You saw it, right?
Sure.
Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1. Eh, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd ever watch it again. Especially now I haven't seen Donnie Brasco. I got my Johnny Depp fix from Donnie Brasco. That was a really good movie. Even though we had like almost no calls about it. That's okay. Nobody went out and saw Happening. We could get a call or a fax about that. Although they must be on the verge of watching it because all the copies have been gobbled
right.
up since I started talking about it. Here's one that says there are a lot of movies I've seen a lot of times, but the one that I've seen even more than The Godfather is Casablanca. You must remember this. Let's hear Duff singing that, huh?
Da-da-da-da. People see us everywhere.
Oh, play it.
They think you really care.
Yes.
But myself I can't deceive.
Duff, get off this instant.
I know it's only make-believe.
Poor Duff. Poor neurotic, unappreciated Duff.
My one and only prayer.
Oh!
Is that someday you'll care?
Oh!
My hopes, my dreams come true.
Roy!
I want it only you.
Oh!
No one will ever know.
No.
How much I love you so.
Okay, that's enough. poor Duff, poor unappreciated Duff, who's so desperately looking to find his real niche in life. He's just doodling around right now, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah,
did
I
we
noticed.
Put Casablanca on there?
We did not.
You must remember. Also, I never heard whether you say prefer Godfather 1 over Godfather 2, and you'd like to combine. Yes, I do like to combine the trilogy, as a matter of fact, but Godfather 1 is far, I don't care what anybody says, Godfather 1 is far superior to Godfather 2, except, of course, for the Meyer Lansky business, the Hyman Roth part. That was
right.
Good. The hotels here are empty. I mean, now things are coming back. That's the good news for Toronto. It's coming back, baby.
Oh!
We're SARS-free, pretty much. A couple of people in the hospital don't want to give it up, but other than that, we're okay. And Mike Myers will be on there sticking it in your face on Leno. 28 past noon at 560 WQM. You know, Steve Wolf must have bailed out of town, too, and Dick Feinberg and Troy Stratford. They're all out of town together, probably. Maybe they were at the qualifying race at Mohawk this morning because they still haven't faxed me any new Pompano Park copy, so I'll just make some up. Don't forget, we got live racing at Pompano Park Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, three nights a week, 7:15, including tonight. General parking is free. Admission is free. Every Wednesday at Pompano Park is dollar night, dollar draft beers, hot dogs, sodas, and lots more. And we invite you to come out any day of the week, 7 days, starting at noon for simulcasting from tracks all over North America, Thoroughbred Harness and Highline as well. And don't forget, we got the Preakness coming up from Pimlico next Saturday, May 17. And Pompano Park will be featuring simulcasting of the Preakness as we do every year. Early bird wagering is starting. I'm just saying this. I don't know. But I'm assuming, based on what we did for the Derby, Friday, May 16th at 1 p.m. next Friday, watch, wager, and join the crowds on Saturday, May 17 for the Preakness from Pimlico in Baltimore at Pompano Park. Pompano Park, I'm a block south of Atlantic Boulevard on Powerline Road. Don't forget, great live racing, 7:15 tonight, every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAQAM.
To Canada, you Jew bastard.
Proverbial bucket.
We're gonna live it up. We're gonna whale, dog.
Nope. This money goes toward buying plans in the Gotham City Mint.
The Mint? You don't fool around. Which way, sweetheart?
Drive straight out along Short Island Sound to the old criminal's home. Oh, and I love to see Commissioner Gordon's face now.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
That's what Commissioner Gordon said. Well, I'm sure glad they put this on at this time now. Batman's usually on in the afternoon, back-to-back episodes. 12:34, here's a horrendous story. You're not going to believe this. 129 sucked out of the rear door of an airplane over the Congo. Did you ever hear such a thing?
Yeah, just now.
The rear door of a Russian-built cargo plane burst open as the aircraft carried police officials and their relatives across Congo, and 129 passengers were sucked out.
That sucks.
Defense Minister Urung Awan confirmed there was a technical problem with a plane's rear door.
You think?
But provided no details, did not confirm any deaths among the 200 people on board. This is what I don't understand. After the accident occurred some 45 minutes into the flight, the pilots managed to turn back and land the plane in Kinshasa, Awan said. The plane with its rear door missing could be seen on the airport tarmac. Two officials in the international airport in Congo's capital, Kinshasa, independently told the Associated Press that 129 people were feared dead. 9 survivors were being treated for minor injuries and psychological trauma. How is it possible that 9 people could survive getting sucked out of a plane? I mean, if it's 45 minutes into the flight...
Those are the ones that weren't sucked out.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure?
It says 129 passengers were sucked out and 129 people were feared dead. So we have to assume the 9 survivors are the ones who weren't sucked out. Isn't that what you just said?
That's what you said.
Well, I don't know. It just came across the wire. It just sounded grotesque. In fact, when I first looked at it, it looked like the headline said, over Chicago, when it says Congo. And I thought, holy crap. Greg in Sunrise says, my single most watched movie is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Not necessarily my favorite. I've seen it about 30 times. Also, I missed your favorite sayings pool the other day. My favorite is, why don't you go back to Canada, you Jew bastard? I go to Hollywood quite a bit, so I use it pretty often. He goes to George's neck of the woods. In fact, if Greg from Sunrise ever sees George, he'll probably say,
why don't you go back to Canada, you Jew bastard?
And we didn't even know George was Jewish, like Dave Johnson.
I'm taking classes now.
Breakdown, Kurt Russell and Liar Liar, Jim Carrey. Here's somebody sneak two onto this. Now, which one we want to put on? Either one?
Whatever.
Well, we can't put them both on. Let's not put either one of them on.
Okay.
They're not going to get any votes. What movie you've watched the most times in your life? Godfather 1, 77. Star Wars, 51. I told you this morning, Star Wars, didn't I?
Yep.
Wizard of Oz, 39. Airplane, 25. Christmas Story, 22. Clockwork Orange, 20. That was George's. I voted for The Godfather. Now, how come nobody has said Godfather 2?
Good point.
Should we put that on there?
Sure.
Because there are people who do like it better, in spite of my opinion. My opinion doesn't count on this poll, and neither does yours, Beaner Boy. Jaws, 20. Caddyshack, 19. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 17. It's a Wonderful Life, 16. National Lampoon's Vacation, 16. Scarface, 13. The Ten Commandments, 12. He got a couple extra wholesale. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, 9. 2001 Space Odyssey, 9. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, 7. Animal House, 7. Blazing Saddle, 7. A Christmas Carol, 7. The Blues Brothers, without the apostrophe, thank you, 7. Maltese Falcons got 6. The Exorcist, 6. Never watched any movie more than once, still only 5. Why do you think that would be?
They lie a lot?
No, I think maybe because they just never saw that good of a movie. There have got to be movies that you want to see more than once if they're really great.
Or maybe they don't have a TV, maybe they don't get out much.
Yeah. Cuckoo's Nest, 5. Life of Brian, 5. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, 5. The Hunt for Red October, 5. The Dirty Dozen, 5. The Road Warrior, 4. Spaceballs, 4. Beetlejuice, 3. Also 3 for Gone with the Wind. 2 votes for Cat Ballou. Groundhog Day, 2. Sound of Music, a pair. Rain Man, Rain Man's only got 2. The Outlaw Josie Wales, 2. Ocean's 11's got a pair now. Ye of Little Faith. The Matrix has 2. And one apiece for Fear and Loathing in Vegas, Pretty Woman, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Bachelor Party, History of the World Part 1, This is Spinal Tap, and Once Upon a Time in America. None for Ghostbusters, Going My Way, Catch 22, The Great Escape, Beastmaster, UHF, MASH, The Warriors, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Don't have any. I know it just went up, but don't have any yet. Are you Schmidt and me?
Nope.
Sling Blade, don't have any. The Spy Who Shagged Me, JFK, Pulp Fiction, Cool Hand Luke don't have any out of 478, but they will. This is the poll. It's Friday, so it'll be up there all weekend long. The votes will come pouring in now, not that they finally got something that tickled their fancy, you think?
No.
They'll come pouring in. You watch. 20 till 1 at 560 WQM. Mother's Day is Sunday. Let me take a drink, okay? In fact, what I should do before the spot is I should sniff some more of that package. It's in the trash again, but... Mother's Day is this Sunday. The good news is that there's still time to send your mom, wife, and grandma something extra special this year. How about we send something to, what's her name? Sarah Goldfarb.
Yeah, she needs something.
Some pills. Show them how much you appreciate them by sending an authentic Vermont teddy bear. She'll receive a beautiful bear personalized just for her and delivered with a free card and gourmet candy in a colorful gift box. They've got great bears like the Spa Ma Bear, the Mom's Biggest Fan Bear, or the New Queen for a Day Bear. And please keep in mind, dads, it's your job every year to get a gift from their kids to mom, and the Mother and Cub Set is a neat idea. Add as many little cubs as you need with their names embroidered right on the outfits. They've got guaranteed Saturday delivery, so a bear will still arrive in time for Mother's Day if you act today. It's a lot more creative and thoughtful than flowers, which die and wilt in no time at all, and this gift will last a lifetime. So call 1-800-829-BEAR, and a friendly bear counselor will help you tailor a bear just for her so she'll know you put some real thought into your gift this year. Ordering is quick. It's a piece of cake. One easy call, 1-800-829-BEAR, or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. This year, thank Mom for all she does for you with a Vermont Teddy Bear. Be sure and tell Old Neil told you to call 1-800-829-BEAR.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio's all yours now.
QAM.
Gordon gives South Florida a major blowjob.
Harry is a fairy and he's gonna get married. Harry is a fairy and he's gonna get married. Self-hating homo, so he's gotta get married. Homo has to cover it up.
Okay.
What about Close Encounters of the Worst Kind? Should that go on there?
Somebody say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Close Encounters, let's get that on there. And don't anybody get started on the score bits, okay, please. I'm begging you, because it's addictive and it's very bad for you.
Too late.
They'll send your... Huh?
Too late.
S-K-O-R. I mean, there are some people never had a score bar. That's right. If you want to become like Sarah Goldfarb, instead of popping pills in your puss, you'll be popping score bits. S-K-O-R. I can't believe nobody ever had a score bar. Now, Beaner wouldn't like it because it's a candy bar. So is there any kind of candy that you do eat?
Skittles?
Oh, jeez. That's nasty stuff. That's for little kids.
Spittles?
Yeah, he eats spittle. That's what Duff said. Oh, my God. Why, you've heard that thing about singing for your supper, haven't you? That's where that song came from. Oh. Woo! No, seriously, isn't there any like kind of real candy you like beside chocolate? There's like, help me out here. What other, like, those slices, those fruit slice those things?
Butterscotch.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Jolly Ranchers. Right.
Okay. I like those.
Jelly Beans. Anything as long as there's no chocolate in it, huh?
Right. Jelly
Beans. I'm telling you, score bits will turn you loose, baby. If you want a new addiction, and don't go blaming me because I'm warning you. I'm putting like a little asterisk, an adult warning on this. If you're one of those people with addictive problems like all the rest of us, do not start. God, they're good. I got to get that thing out of the garbage here. This is almost as good as farting in the shower, you know, in a hot, steamy shower. Almost. Let's see. Todd in Hollywood says, speaking of the taste of dog crap, the second most ultimate midnight movie is Pink Flamingos with Divine. But that's not his choice for the list. His choice is It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World because it came out when he was a kid, seen at least 30 times. Also, it says, P.S., it's obvious to me why Joe Costello sucks now. He got married. Every married guy I know is an effing idiot, including me, says Todd in Hollywood. See? That's what happened to poor Joe. He used to be pretty good. Not great, but he was coming along. And now he got married and... His whole act has gotten... And you warned him. Didn't we all warn him?
That's right. Oh, yeah. And you know what? It's not too late for Miguel. I keep warning him.
Oh, is he going to get married to that fine young lady?
Yes.
It's too late.
No, it's not.
He'll tell you. It's too late.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're engaged.
She already cut him off?
Oh, they're engaged, and if he doesn't go follow through, then she will cut him off. Well, you know, see, here's my thing. What does a guy like him have to worry about being cut off by some broad? Huh? I mean, she may be very, very nice, but he can get pretty much whatever he wants.
Right. What if she cuts it off?
Well, there you go. Here's a fax from Wally in Broward who says, I'd like to respond to the fax who proclaimed Catch-22 to be a great movie. Catch-22 is a perfect example of great novels that don't translate to the screen. And I will say this, 99 times out of 100, the book is better than the movie, including Godfather. Joseph Heller wrote Catch-22 and arguably is one of the great modern American novels, sucked as a movie. Way too complex to capture Heller's message. Thankfully, no one made Heller's second novel, Something Happened, into a screenplay. Talk about your one-hit wonders. It says, I've reread Catch-22 numerous times over the years. Maybe that's a future pull. Now Wally then comes back to his senses and says, no, then the audience have to read books. He wants to nominate Song of the South. Song of the South for the pull. How do you like that?
Eisner?
Keep that bluebird out of here, Wally. And John in North Miami Beach, did you read this thing?
Did I?
About the censored bits in the CD. The answer, John, is
no.
To make a long story short,
no.
Have we been intimidated?
Yes.
Have we been put in our place?
Yes.
We need the work. But some of this other stuff we can, whatever. And plus, John North Miami Beach has got three on here, the Warriors. Did we put that on there already?
Yes.
Yes, that's on there. Grease and Murder by Death. Let's put Murder by Death, because Grease is John Revolta. And even if he has seen it a whole bunch of times, who else is in Grease?
Olivia Neutron Bomb.
Oh, Olivia's Neutron Bomb? Oh. Do you know she was married to Matt LaPanzi? I guess you do know that.
Right.
Oh, now, there is a movie I've seen several times, not that it's in the running with Godfather. My Tutor.
Okay.
It's a cutesy movie, and Matt LaPanzi looks real good, and so does, what's her name, whoever they plays the tutor.
Yeah.
Do you know that movie?
I know it. I'd tutor.
It's you'd tutor, yeah. I'm sure you would. And, of course, he's running out, like, mostly naked most of the movie, Matt LaPanzi. Whatever happened to him, huh?
Age.
Married Olivia Newton-John? Oh, jeez. You know, I really do need to read that, speaking of that. Nick Kristof's article in the New York Times today, No Time to Get Squeamish. At least part of it. Because it should give you an idea of just how, and I'm not exaggerating, it's getting more and more frightening by the day. And if people would just open up their eyes and ears and listen and do a little reading of their own, as opposed to like reading the two crap fish wrappers down there, they'd be starting to get pretty nervous, too. He says, most AIDS scientists are terrified these days. They describe witch hunts by neo-Puritans in and out of the Bush administration, and many are so nervous that in email and research abstracts, they avoid using words like gays, homosexuals, anal sex, or sex workers. So scientists at the National Institutes of Health and elsewhere are devising their own secret code. I won't give it away, but one term stands for gay or homosexual, another for anal sex, and so on. I would recommend avoiding all electronic communication to any NIH office, one scientist warned in one of many email notes buzzing among AIDS researchers. Phone communication does not appear tapped at this time. Even so, I'm advising staff to speak in code unless an NIH staff member indicates you can speak freely. In short, assume you're living in Stalinist Russia when communicating with the U.S. government. As my Times colleague Erica Good noted in breaking the story last month, researchers have been told by NIH project officers to avoid sensitive language in grant applications. A University of California researcher, for example, was told to cleanse the abstract of his grant proposal of words like gay, homosexual, and transgender. Since his research on, was on HIV and gay men, this was a challenge. How can scholars investigate how AIDS spreads without using words that make the religious right blush? Perhaps this seems like an obscure issue. It's not. The fundamental question is whether elements of the Bush administration are politicizing science, using budgets, advisory committees, and the fear of embarrassment to chill the way that science is conducted in America. And it goes on. In fact, one more sentence, if I can I do it?
Please.
He says, especially in the case of AIDS, which kills more people in 2 hours than SARS has killed in total, vast numbers of human lives are at stake. In America alone, 12,000 people die every year of AIDS. The difference between solid scientific research and pseudoscience will be measured in millions of lives saved. There you go.
Yeah, but
be careful the words you say, because we don't want to alienate the Christian right. They're very sensitive and touchy, et cetera.
It's still killing mostly faggots, right?
Oh, my God. 1254 at 560 WQAM. If you've been thinking about buying a new barbecue or any barbecue accessories, you must go to a great place, Barbecues Galore. Get yourself a head start on the barbecuing season with a perfect grill and accessories, all at the guaranteed lowest prices in the universe, too. Now through Sunday, this Sunday, Mother's Day, buy any gas grill over $149 and get free assembly and free propane. That's correct, free assembly and free propane. And don't forget, it is Mother's Day this Sunday, and Barbecues Galore has got incredible gifts for Mom. Everything from a new grill to backyard accents that'll make it a nicer place for the family to spend time together. Don't forget, please, for all your barbecue needs at the guaranteed lowest prices anywhere, shop Barbecues Galore. Everything you need for barbecuing, they're in Plantation and University Drive. In the Fountain Shops, call 954-423-1400. In Coral Springs at 7485 West Sample Road, corner Sample and Rock Islands, call 954-757-6668. Got it? 757-6668. And don't forget, free assembly and free propane gas on all grass grills over $149 this weekend at Barbecues Galore.
Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Taking us very personal.
The Middle Eastern world will be exploded. Saddam had people killed with the gas that we sold him. First time aggressor nation and the only one that's growing. Now more blood will be spilled to get that oil flowing. Forget about Korea and the nukes they're toting, and the right wing is drilling it over and over into our head.
Okay.
That Iraq has some weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Thousand people killed are now forgotten. Let's exploit them instead. Hey, there's oil to be gotten. Going after Saddam to placate Osama. There's no longer mention of the name Bin Laden, but no one seems concerned. All humble and complacent, believing every word of this cartel administration that controls us by fear through media manipulation. And the right wing is drilling it over and over into our heads that Iraq has some weapons of mass destruction.